IE America Radio, we want to wish you a happy holiday season.
And a peaceful new year.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. Buoyed by the capture of Saddam Hussein, U.S. troops began Christmas celebrations Tuesday, even as Iraqi Christians prepared for a low-key holiday. Many congregations delaying midnight services until daybreak amid worries of violence. The holiday brings mixed feelings for Iraq's 700,000 Christians. There are prayers for a better future, but also some fears that if unrest continues, it could revive an exodus of Christians and other Iraqis. Receiving a Christmas card from George and Laura Bush themselves, postmarked Crawford, Texas, is a bit of a thrill, until that is you discover there are 1.5 million others on the White House list. This year, Mr. Bush sent out a record 1.5 million cards to his closest friends, supporters, foreign dignitaries, and assorted hacks and hangers-on. The Bush card follows recent presidential tradition in portraying a White House scene cleansed of any human presence that might trigger scrutiny for hidden meanings. Last year's picture of a presidential piano was criticized as being cold and unseasonal. This year's card features altogether warmer colors, showing a fireplace flanked by two buttery yellow armchairs in the White House diplomatic reception room. Holiday gift-giving isn't just for people anymore, not when they can choose from the latest bling-bling for their pets, too. The Wall Street Journal reports Ralph Lauren is pitching Fair Isle sweaters and polo shirts for dogs. Others can buy sterling silver pet tags from Tiffany. Kosher Pets of Fort Lauderdale, Florida offers Hanukkah collars, stuffed dreidels, and even kosher dog biscuits. Some pet owners try to get their animals into the spirit of the season, but it doesn't always work. Ken Boschert of Washington University in Seattle says his dachshunds hate it when his wife puts the antlers on them. More IE America Network news after this.
Military veterans deserve better. They must wait endlessly for basic health care from the Department of Veterans Affairs. If you or a military veteran you know is one of the many heroes waiting for VA health care, the American Legion wants to tell your story to your elected officials in Washington, D.C.
It doesn't matter if you're naughty or nice, if you're a prisoner in Arkansas, you will receive a gift this Christmas. Prison officials will give each of the 13,500 inmates in the state 2 apples, 2 oranges, as well as $5 on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, in a bid to make life a bit brighter for those behind bars over the holidays. The $70,000 cost of the program is paid for by prison vending machine profits and from rebates the system receives on long-distance calls placed by inmates. The fresh fruit is donated from various U.S. orchards. For security reasons, the prison system forbids inmates' friends and relatives from sending gifts to prisoners at any time of year, except for gift packages purchased through prison commissaries. This is Don Waller in New York. On behalf of us all here at IE America Network News, have a safe and happy holiday.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Ah, going home for the holidays. An hour to the airport, 3 hours at the gate, 2 on the runway, and 5 in the air. Your traveling companion? 1 achy back. Unless you wear a Thermacare heat wrap. Thermacare gives you powerful pain relief for your back, neck, or shoulder. It's 8 hours of deep down heat, so tight muscles relax, and pain goes away. Get Thermacare in the pain reliever aisle. Because after flying, you gotta start driving.
At last, the golden age of television is upon us. But alas, this is not the golden age of TV quality, but literally the age of TV gold, when advertisers have become the programming. Leading the way is Disney's ABC Television Network, which has now opened its expanse of our public airwaves to complete domination by sponsors. I don't mean just the ads that sponsors run on its shows, or even the not-so-subtle placement of sponsors' products in the shows, but rather sponsors that become the featured character of the show. Sears has stepped out as the first of ABC's new advertising stars, putting itself forward as the centerpiece of the network's latest reality show called Extreme Makeover: Home Edition. Not that Sears has any actual dramatic talent, but it does have more than $1 million that it paid to ABC to write the corporation into the script of this 6-part series portraying stories of home renovation. The actual actors will be using Sears tools in their work, adding Sears appliances to the renovated homes and decorating with Sears furniture. If that's too subtle for viewers, there'll also be Sears trucks delivering merchandise. Branded workers from Sears home improvement centers will occasionally arrive on the scene, and the show's cast will make trips to Sears for supplies. The commercially crass rationale for this all-Sears show is that advertisers need a way to outfox you TV viewers who are using your clickers to zap past those annoying commercial breaks. So forget the ads. The sponsors will be the shows. To fabricate this great leap forward, ABC even has a senior vice president for integrated marketing and promotion. He assures us that while, quote, Sears plays a role in the personality of the show, ABC would never take it to the point where it would seem like a bunch of logos slapped in a show. This is Jim Hightower saying, see, there still are a few artistic standards in television.
Doug, listening to you sing Back in the Saddle Again just goes to show what happens when Nancy isn't around to rein you in. God help us and anyone else listening in at that time. I think that was very nice. I'm back in the saddle again.
There's a certain pumpkin patch charm to you when you do this.
Really?
Well, doggy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
Greetings, friends, to our program. Greetings, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth, and justice, believers in peace, freedom, and the American way. This is Tom Hartman broadcasting live, coast to coast, on the nation's largest nationally syndicated daytime progressive talk show. Streaming live around, we're on terrestrial radio stations from coast to coast on the IE America Radio Network, streaming live around the planet. On IEAmericaRadio.com, Live365.com, and we just got updated statistics from RadioPower.org, a listener-sponsored network. They work entirely on your contributions, so if you listen to them, click that button, you know, to help them out. 10,000 listeners a day in more than 100 countries. So we're getting out not just on the radio stations all across the country, literally radio stations from the Pacific Ocean to the Atlantic, and also on Sirius Radio, Stream 145, but also all over the planet on RadioPower.org. It's amazing, you know. I remember 30 years ago when I first started in radio. Well, it was more than that. It was 30. Anyway, when I was in 1987. When I first started in radio, or 1967, when I first started in radio, just the idea that you can say something and vibrate a little diaphragm on a microphone, and all over the place, other people are hearing, you know, the diaphragm on a loudspeaker vibrating, and it's your voice coming out. It's amazing. It's humbling. It's scary, but it's fun. Anyhow, we have a great show today, a lot of stuff on our program. In our second hour, we're going to have brunch with Bernie. Bernie Sanders, the America's congressman. He, of course, is the only independent congressman in the United States House of Representatives. He's my congressman from Vermont, but that's almost anecdotal. I mean, I have a feeling we'd be doing this even if I lived in, you know, Michigan or New Hampshire or Georgia, any of the other states that I've lived in the past. Bernie is a true national treasure, and he loves to take calls from listeners. So if you have questions for Bernie, remember our second hour, 1 hour from now, more or less. Give us a call, 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937, and you can talk with Bernie Sanders. In our first hour here, I want to get into, first, the double standards that have to do with crime and punishment in America, particularly you know, one of number nine in our 10 ways to restore democracy in America. And if you go to TomHartmann.com and click on Restore Democracy, you'll see what I'm talking about. By the way, if you stop there, also you can click on the chat room, drop into our chat room, and find also archives of the program at WhiteRoseSociety.org, as well as the old archives that we've got of programs that we've done over the last year, chopped up into little bits and pieces by topic. Brilliant job done by Mike Toth down in Florida. And so anyhow, if you look at the 10 ways to restore democracy, number nine is America is not a kingdom and we don't elect kings. This is one of the core principles. Our founders understood this, and it appears that the current administration doesn't. That Jimmy Carter walked to his inauguration. And in doing so, he was following the tradition started by Thomas Jefferson. John Adams, who preceded Jefferson, there was Washington, who rode on horseback to his inaugural. Then there was John Adams, who had a liveried carriage, six horses pulling a carriage that was worthy of a European king, you know, with footmen in the back and shooting cannons and long live President John Adams, and, you know, as if he was a king. And this is how he traveled throughout his presidency. In fact, one time when John Adams was traveling through a city in Delaware, I'm not sure the name of the city, but anyhow, it was in Delaware. There was a fellow in a bar who was rather inebriated, and he heard the cannons going off because John Adams... mostly his wife was the one behind this. She aspired to royalty. Adams was actually a reasonably humble guy, although he had a hair-trigger temper, and he hated anybody who contradicted him or who opposed him. But anyhow, she had this thing set up where wherever they went, they had to fire the cannons, and they had to line the streets, and everybody had to chant at the same time, "Hail to John Adams, long live the president." And when that happened, this guy sitting in the bar said, "Hey, they're firing the cannons at John Adams. I don't care if they fire one at his arse." And this, of course, was just after 1798, the third year of John Adams' presidency, in the middle of the second year, the tail end of the second year. And when he had passed, he had just recently signed into law the 1798 edition of what today is the Patriot Act, which gave the president the right to lock up people for things that the president didn't like, for specifically sedition. And sedition was defined as speaking in a way that would bring disrepute upon the president. So this bartender, who was a Federalist, a lover of Adams, he was part of Adams' party, he heard this drunk make this comment, sort of like, you know, drunks these days can make comments, and suddenly somebody calls the Secret Service, and boom, off they go. And he went out to the street and got one of Adams' many police, and they came in and they arrested this guy and they threw him in prison. And he stayed there until 2 years later when Thomas Jefferson became president and pardoned all of the many, many people that John Adams had put in prison for speaking ill of him. So... anyhow, this has been reincarnated under this administration. And there's this whole issue of crime and punishment and the double standards that are happening right now. I want to talk about that briefly. And I'm not talking about Rush Limbaugh. That's so obvious we don't even need to get into it. But some real serious issues here. And then secondly, later in this hour, I want to just raise the question and answer it, I think, in some reasonable degree of, is there a middle ground between laissez-faire capitalism, that is, anything goes, unrestrained capitalism, no rules, or the corporations get to write the rules by running things like the WTO and NAFTA, and, on the one hand, and the welfare state, on the other hand. See, this is how the cons present it. They say, you either have to just let the corporations do whatever they want, and everything will be fine, or you have... absolute socialism, Soviet Union-style socialism, an incredible welfare state, and it's a false argument. It completely overlooks this huge middle ground that is historically where the United States has positioned itself. And the cons have been so successful in creating this phony argument, this phony dichotomy, that many people don't realize that there is an option other than those two. And I want to get into that in the second half hour of the program. But in the first half hour of the program, this double standard. Today is day 830 in the search for that man whose name shall not pass George Bush's lips. Other than, I think the last time George Bush mentioned Osama bin Laden was about 2 months ago when he said, and I quote, "No, there is no connection between Saddam Hussein and 9/11. Well, actually, he didn't even say Osama bin Laden at the time. But 830 days since George Bush said that we would get Osama dead or alive. And, well, you know, as we get closer and closer to the election, the probabilities increase arithmetically, if not geometrically. 805 days since somebody sent anthrax to a bunch of Democrats who were considering the Patriot Act, Tom Daschle and Patrick Leahy, the head of the Democrats, who then controlled the Senate and had the ability to kill the Patriot Act and were inclined to do so, and Pat Leahy, who was the head of the Judiciary Committee, which would have had to release the Patriot Act for it to be voted on, and was inclined not to do so, and suddenly they both got anthrax, had to leave their offices, couldn't have anything to do. Anyway, 805 days, 319 days since we began the search for weapons of mass destruction, and now to the crime, 165 days. Since somebody in the White House, 177,000 square miles of Iraq, 55,000 square feet of the White House. In Iraq, somehow, we can find Osama, although apparently it's with the help of the Kurds. But in those 55,000 square feet of the White House, we have been unable to find the man who committed treason, the traitor who outed not just to Bob Novak, but called six different news agencies. Novak was the only one who was sufficiently corrupt to actually publish the story. Who outed Valerie Plame, a CIA agent, and in doing so destroyed an entire CIA front company that had been operating for 20 years, put the lives of hundreds of operatives and contacts all across the world at risk, possibly led to the death of people. I mean, this was not just a CIA operation. This was a major CIA counterterrorism operation. And the administration has admitted that it was a senior administration official. Joe Wilson says it was Karl Rove. Karl Rove's former business partner and good buddy, John Ashcroft, is in charge of the investigation. And what does the president say about it? Speaking of the double standard, here we have a crime which could be punishable by death. And the president says,
and I don't know if we're going to find out the senior administration official. Now, this is a large administration, and there's a lot of senior officials. I don't have any idea.
Yeah. So, now, on it goes. Here we have a young man, this from ABC News. We have a young man from the state of Maine. He lived in Kennebunkport. His first name is Patrick. He was 14 years old. And he and an older friend broke into a boathouse in Arundel, Maine, last July 7th. They were trying to steal a marine radio out of a boat. And when they broke into this boathouse and they saw that there were monitor cameras, and so they got the bright idea to burn down the boathouse so that there would be no evidence of their crimes. Well, they got caught, as you might expect. And, you know, typically this is the sort of thing. I mean, a 14-year-old boy committing vandalism, burning down a boathouse, what would you expect? 6 months in the juvenile detention center? 3 months? Maybe a year? I don't, you know, a year seems pretty tough for a 14-year-old kid. The juvenile detention centers are really horrific places. You certainly wouldn't expect that he would end up in a federal penitentiary for 2.5 years, would you? I mean, that's like, people get that for things, you know, for federal penitentiary. Well, it turns out that there was a boat motor in that boathouse that was owned by George Herbert Walker Bush. And as the parents said, Secret Service agents, ATF agents, fire marshals, and police all descended on the house. And the kid got 30 months in a federal prison. in a federal prison. 20 minutes after the hour, this is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned.
Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
If you think people are more important than corporations, you need to see The Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free 1-800-205-7067 or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067 or populist.com or The Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
The Founding Fathers thought they'd stop corporations from ever overthrowing elected government. Little did they know that 200 years later, democracy would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom Hartman. The founders of America fought the Revolutionary War against the excessive corporate power of the East India Company, and presidents from Jefferson to Eisenhower warned us that extremely big businesses could destroy democracy. You'll find this extraordinary American story in my book, Unequal Protection: The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. It starts with the Boston Tea Party and ends with the rampant corruption of the Bush administration. It tells the dramatic story of how corporations hijacked the Bill of Rights, setting the stage for the CEO takeover of America. And it shows how we can take America back and tells the stories of Americans from Pennsylvania to California who are doing just that right now.
Unequal Protection is available in bookstores nationwide. And you can read several chapters online at unequalprotection.com. That's Unequal Protection by Tom Hartman.
We here at IE America Radio Network make sure that our listeners are informed about many different subjects in many different ways. And this is why we partner with Earthwatch Radio to bring you environmental research and related topics in concise two-minute reports that are scientifically accurate, clearly written, and played at the bottom of every hour here on IE America Radio Network. But did you know that you can get even more great information about the environment and related issues at www.ewradio.org? This website contains an enormous amount of information on a wide range of subjects that concern science and the environment. Earthwatch Radio gives special attention to the global climate change, the Great Lakes, and the oceans, and it's all information that you need to know about. So get informed by going to www.ewradio.org and listen to the Earthwatch Radio two-minute program at the bottom of every hour, every day, here on IE America Radio Network. It's our world. Let's learn how to take care of it. If you can't listen to the Earthwatch Radio program on your radio station, you can listen to it on our website's live streaming at www.ieamericaradio.com.
Anaconda.
Budgie.
Camel.
Dick-dick.
Emu.
Frog.
Gopher.
Hyena.
Iguana.
Jaguar.
Cuda Mundi.
Llama.
Minx.
Animal Narwhal. Talk. We talk Australia. About what you do to your animals and what your animals do to you. Mark, Donna, and Dr. Brad answer all your animal questions from A to Z. Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Australia.
Penguin.
Whale.
Rooster.
Seal.
Tortoise.
Vampire bat.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Kathy, I'm lost, I said, though I knew she was sleeping. I'm empty and aching and I don't know why. Counting the cars, I'm a New Jersey Turnpike, they've all. Look for a man.
looking for America, too. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. What has happened to our country? Where has America gone? I mean, there was a time in feudal times, basically from the beginning of the Dark Ages in 410, with the fall of the Roman Empire to the Visigoths, until roughly the 14th, 15th century, the beginning of the Enlightenment, referred to as the Dark Ages and Middle Ages. Typically the first 400 years of that is more or less referred to as the Dark Ages, the time for which we have virtually no written history. And then, after the Crusades, it became the Middle Ages. The Crusades actually, something I just learned this morning, the Crusades, when the European Christians attacked the Arabs in the Middle East and during the Crusades, they recovered or they stole or took from the Arabs the writings of Aristotle and Plato and Socrates. They had all been lost to the Europeans. It was the Muslims who had kept this stuff intact. And it's funny how, you follow the trail. I mean, that was how it got to Europe. And then from Europe, it got to North America. And from North America, it got to Thomas Jefferson. And boom, we've got American democracy. Interesting. Not that the means justify the ends, just an interesting story. But anyhow, back during the Dark Ages and the Middle Ages, and arguably right up to the Industrial Revolution, individuals in Europe didn't have rights. They only had privileges, and those privileges were defined by the king or the local feudal lords or the pope. And those privileges did not include the right to poach the king's stuff. You know, I mean, the feudal lords had some pretty spectacular or strange or powerful, I don't mean spectacular and isn't it a wonderful, I mean, you know, probably they thought of it as that, rights. The right of the first knight is a famous one. It played well in that Mel Gibson movie, was it Braveheart, I think? Where the local feudal lord had the obligation, a difficult job it was, I'm sure, to sleep with every woman who got married in their community on her first night. It was called the right of the first night. And it was a way of ensuring that everybody was, because usually the first child born then, not usually, but very often the first child born was the child of the local feudal lord or the local king. And therefore, communities became genetically bound together, which had some, sociologists say there was some adaptive mechanism in all of that. I think it's just a bizarre. But anyhow, that's a symbol of how the kind of power they had. And if you poached the king's deer, you could put to death. They routinely put people to death. Hungry people who went out and shot animals in the forest that belonged to the king. The king would go out and hunt these things for sport. But if a peasant tried to eat them. So now there are only two people from all of the New England states. Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Connecticut, New York. I don't know what I'm missing. Massachusetts. Two people from all of those states who are in federal prisons. And they are these two kids who are involved in breaking into this boathouse that held the boat engine of George Herbert Walker Bush. 57 months in a federal prison for one. The kid, the 14-year-old, since Patrick was committed to a maximum security facility this past August, his parents are only able to speak with him for 5 minutes once a week. This kid's in lockdown in a federal facility because he dared tamper with or destroy the king's property. Well, that's interesting. Let's look at a crime that's a little more serious than burning down a boathouse and destroying George Bush's boat engine right after this break. This is Tom Hartman. You're in the Democracy Zone. We'll be right back.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
Hi, this is Renee Scarponi, Affiliate Relations Specialist for IE America Radio Network, wishing you and yours a safe and happy holiday.
The environment isn't all bad news. A new book finds plenty to cheer about. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. If you're looking for an environmental hero, consider the Collins Pine Company. David Suzuki profiles the timber operation in his new book, Good News for a Change, How Everyday People Are Helping the Planet.
Here is a family-owned company that has been in operation now for 150 years. They do $250 million worth of business a year. So this is not a small logging company. This is a major corporation. And if you go through their forests, you don't see clear cuts anywhere. And their forests, which have been logged for 150 years, are considered among the best examples of what an old growth forest should be. So you walk through their forest, you have no idea that there's a logging operation going on.
Collins Pine has 7,500 employees and operates in Pennsylvania, Oregon, and Northern California. Suzuki says the company is a good citizen any way you look at it.
They feel that they've got to return benefits of their operation to the community. So they take a considerable amount of their revenue to set up scholarships, to support community events and activities.
Suzuki and co-author Holly Dressel found other companies doing good things, including some that might surprise you. There's William Clayton Ford, head of the Ford Motor Company, who says the auto industry must cut the environmental impact of its products. Ford has promised to convert the company's SUVs to energy-efficient hybrid engines. Suzuki says even Nike, long considered a bad actor for its use of sweatshop labor, has responded to criticism. Suzuki says it's not all bad news out there, and he wants to credit those companies that are trying to do better. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Hi, this is Suzanne Gowardy.
I'm El Bracciotti, the famous mariachi.
Whatever.
This is Renee Scarponi.
Hey, baby.
This is Kim Kasnick.
Yeah, baby.
This is John Lucas.
Hey.
This is Stephanie Stryker.
Yeah, bud.
This is Steve Damschutter.
This is Shaw Jones.
This is Bill Vellner.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Ron Metzinger.
From our family to yours, have
a happy holiday and a great new year.
Isn't that just too cute?
I like Santa Claus.
This is Mike Malloy with the IE America Radio Network. Want to know more about our talk shows and personalities but don't know where to look? Do you want to find out what guests are scheduled or what topics we'll be discussing on our programs? Would you like to participate in live chat or vote in interactive polls? All this and more is available at the IE America Radio website. Bookmark it. Stop surfing and get active. Visit www.ieamericaradio.com today.
Best of the rest of the news, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Common Sense from the Radical Middle. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Now it's a scandal, right? It's Timothy Noah. New evidence that a House GOP leader offered a bribe. Okay, so we've got a 14-year-old kid, one of only two, the other being his 17-year-old partner in crime, who burned down a boathouse that had an engine in it, a boat engine in it, owned by George Herbert Walker Bush. And as a result, the Secret Service got involved. This wasn't on the Bush compound. It wasn't anywhere near the Bush property. It just happened to have the property of the king in it, or of the royal family. And they're serving 57 months and 30 months, respectively, in maximum security federal penitentiaries, allowed 5 minutes of conversation with their family per week. These are serious criminals. They took from the royal family. Now, within the royal household, we have somebody who committed treason, who committed a crime for which the Rosenbergs were put to death. And that person, well, the king says, well, we don't know. This is a big administration. We've got a lot of senior officials there. And now in the family, in the extended family of the king, we have another crime. One of the most horrific crimes that a public servant can commit is to abandon the public trust in favor of private interest. In order for American democracy, or any democracy, to work and to survive over time, it must have the faith and trust of its people. We must be able to believe that our government is acting in our benefit, since it is our government. If we really and truly have what Abraham Lincoln called in the Gettysburg Address, government of the people, by the people, for the people, which shall not perish from this earth, he prayed. If we really have that, if we truly have that in this nation, we must have the faith and confidence that our public servants are acting on our behalf. By the way, our quote for the day, perhaps apropos to this, Thomas Jefferson, a letter to Dupont de Nemours, April 24, 1816, enlighten the people. Our duty on this program, enlighten the people, and tyranny and oppressions of body and mind will vanish like spirits at the dawn of day. So anyhow, here we have a member of the administration who has committed a crime of accepting or of has witnessed a crime of a senior member of the royal family offering a bribe. Representative Nick Smith of Michigan was opposed to the Medicare bill. He felt it was a giveaway to the drug companies and the pharmaceutical companies and all the good buddies of Bill Frist, the multimillionaire whose family made his multimillions by taking public-owned hospitals private and then squeezing the customers for a little extra profit, making millions and millions of dollars so that he could buy himself a seat in the United States Senate, where he is the beloved of the king. And now Nick Smith in the House of Representatives, he's decided he's not going to run for office again. He's a Republican, a true conservative in the old sense, in the Barry Goldwater sense, in the balanced budget sense. And he says, you know, no, we shouldn't vote for this thing because it's full of pork and it's a giveaway to the big pharma and big drug companies. And then he says, you know, Denny Hastert, I mean, normally the vote is 15 minutes. Denny Hastert extended it for the first time in 227 years to 3 hours, because that's how long it took them to run around the house and twist arms. This was at 4 o'clock in the morning. And he says, on a couple of different occasions, people offered him bribes. Here is Nick Smith talking about this on WKZO, Kevin Vandenbroek's program in Kalamazoo, Michigan, the district that Nick Smith represents. Here he is speaking about this.
I had voted against last year and last spring against the prescription drug add-on provisions that's going to cost gets a heck of a lot of money. And the arm twisting was probably as strong as I've ever seen it in my 16 years in the Michigan legislature and my 11 years in Congress.
So the arm twisting was pretty strong. Now he gets into the actual crime that he witnessed, the federal felony.
They threatened. Here's what they did. They started out by offering the carrot, and they know what's important to every member, and what's important to me is my family and my kids.
What's important to me is my family and my kids. Well, where's this going?
And I term limited myself, and so Bradley, my son...
I'm term limited myself. So Bradley, in other words, he's one of those guys who went in when they, you know, when Gingrich had his contract on America and said we should have term limits. This guy actually believed it. This is a man apparently of principles.
He is running for office, and so the first offer.
And so his son Bradley is running, and so the first offer that they offered him
was to give him $100,000 plus for his campaign and endorsements by national leadership.
There you go. Representative Nick Smith charging that a federal felony for which someone should go to Leavenworth prison was committed on the House of the on the floor of the House of Representatives. He continues.
I said, no, I'm going to stick to my guns on what I think is right for the constituents in my district. And so what they did then is come forth with sort of the stick. They said, well, if you don't change your vote, this is about 4 a.m. Saturday morning, then some of us are going to work to make sure your son doesn't get to Congress.
And now the stick. I mean, these guys play hardball. You don't want to take our bribe? This is the mafia. This is how the mafia operates. You don't want to take our bribe? We're going to break your kneecaps, buddy. We're going to make sure that your son is not elected.
And that kind of personal attack is just sort of beyond what anybody should do. So I told him to get the heck out of there, and I might have used a different word besides heck. I don't know. But it's a tough situation when civility breaks down.
Yeah, it's a tough situation when civility breaks down. It's a tough situation when a federal felony is committed. Here we've got a 14-year-old kid serving 30 months in the federal penitentiary, locked down, five minutes a week. He can speak to his family because he burned up a boat engine owned by the royal family, George Herbert Walker Bush's boat engine, a spare motor for his boat. And on the floor of the House of Representatives, Dennis Hastert, according to the cameras that were present, commits a federal felony. And so they asked John Ashcroft, are you going to investigate this? And Ashcroft, on December 11th, 2003, at a Justice Department press conference, said, and I quote, well, we obviously frequently receive information in which individuals bring to our attention things that they think are appropriate for our attention, and we consider those very seriously. Has he done anything? No! Not a damn thing. He has done nothing. And now Representative Smith, I guess he's got the kneecapper's got to him. He is a little concerned about what might happen to his son, because now he is saying, oh, well, I was misquoted. Really, I didn't witness any federal crimes. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. Let me remind you again, by the way, that Bernie Sanders, America's congressman, is going to be on in the next hour. Don't hesitate to call in when Bernie is on, because he loves to hear from folks and answer questions, and feel free to toss the hard ones at him, because he's good at it. Leland in Santa Fe, New Mexico is on the line. Hey, Leland, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Hey, Tom. Well, you got me in tears this morning. And
how's
I just
that?
Wanted to ask two questions. One is, can citizens bring an arrest on Denny Hastert for this without the cooperation of Nick Smith? And two, how can we get that 14-year-old guy out of prison?
You know, I don't honestly know the answer to either of those questions, Leland. The citizen arrest statutes, I believe, are not federal laws. I believe that they're local and they vary from state to state and community to community. But I am not an attorney, so I'm not the guy to answer that.
What I would suggest
is that you call 1-202-234-1111. I'm sorry, 224-3121, which is the Capitol building. And from that number, you can ask to be transferred to the Justice Department, to your elected, to your congressman, to your senator's office, to the president's, and, you know, anywhere. That's the official number for the Capitol, 202-224-3121. And start calling until you get some answers. Here we have, you know, a United States congressman who on the radio and in a newspaper article he wrote in his own hand, published under his own name, has alleged a federal felony. And now it's, you know, the great whitewash is underway. It's going on and on and on, and you know, here's the law. The law under this federal law, a person commits bribery if he, and I quote, this is from the United States Code, Title 18, Section 201, directly or indirectly, corruptly gives, offers, or promises anything of value to any public official or person who has been selected to be a public official, or offers to promise any public official or any person who has been selected to be a public official to give anything of value to any other person or entity, such as his son, with intent to influence any official act. That's pretty unambiguous. It's pretty straightforward. So how's that for a start, Leland?
Well, that sounds good. I just can't understand. I mean, I'm really sad to hear that Nick Smith has retracted his testimony, because without him, the case is obviously pretty hollow.
Yeah, although he's on the record.
That's right.
I mean, he's on the record. But you're right. The case is pretty hollow, because the cameras that filmed all this did not have sound associated with them. So, you know, we unfortunately don't have those things. But on the other hand, if Nick Smith was one of those guys who term limited himself, one of Gingrich's Republicans, I mean, there were some of those guys came in with high moral vision. I mean, they really. You know, I disagree with them on many of their principles and philosophies and positions, but nonetheless, I respect their integrity and their consistency. And if he's one of the, and he is, he's one of those guys who went in and said, okay, I'm just going to do a couple of terms and then that's it. And so now he's going to do a family dynasty. It's kind of a weasel way out, I suppose, to run your son for the same office. He's got a similar name. He'll probably win and all that. But nonetheless, it appears from Nick Smith's congressional history that he is a man of some principles, and I'm guessing that if he was put before a grand jury, or if he was brought before an officer of the law or a magistrate and was put under oath, that he would tell the truth. I am guessing he would tell the truth. See, there's no law against lying to the press. There's no law against lying. I mean, you know, you can lie to anybody in the United States as long as you haven't been put under oath. It's perfectly okay to say, you know, honey, that looks great on you. No, you don't look fat in that, or whatever. I mean, you know, that's a terrible sexist joke, but everybody gets it. I mean, we all, the political discourse is filled with little white lies. It's a necessary thing at some level. We have the right to lie. Now, corporations are claiming the right to lie. That's wrong. And Nick Smith apparently has decided that lying is the better part of keeping his job and his son's job. But I believe that he probably would not lie if he was put under oath.
Yeah, but that would mean he would have to have a lot of support from the public.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Leland, thank you for the call. 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. Eric in Santa Fe wants to weigh in. Hey, Eric, welcome to the Tom Hartman program. Happy Boxing Day.
Hey, Tom, how are you?
I'm great, but I'll get better. How about you, Eric?
I'm doing pretty good. I guess this is the second call from Santa Fe. I had a question for you. Before you said you were talking about the leak of information, and I was wondering what your feelings were about Robert Novak, and being an experienced journalist, what are your feelings about him actually putting this out to the public view?
Well, first of all, I have a hard time considering Robert Novak a legitimate journalist. Novak has exposed his sources in the past when it has served his partisan purposes. Novak, in my opinion, you know, you look at his history, you look at his career, you look at the stuff that he does on Fire, on Crossfire. He's a political hack masquerading as a journalist, in my opinion. You know, I could be wrong, but I don't think so. And, you know, I think that journalists have a right to protect their sources, and that's a right that we must protect. But Bob Novak has outed his sources in the past when it served his purposes. But even beyond Bob Novak, if the president really wanted to find the criminal, he could do that easily. He just had to call people in the White House and say, who did it? And they'd have to tell him. This is thanks for the call, Art. This is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
Excuse me. Pardon me.
Slow down, Kyle. You'll choke on your coffee.
I can't. I have to finish getting the newsletter out before I can do anything else on my schedule today.
I used to have that problem before I discovered the Newsletter Factory.
Well, how'd they help you?
Their expert team of writers, editors, designers, and project coordinators do all my hard work for me. The Newsletter Factory even developed a readership survey that helped me produce the most appropriate content.
Sounds great, but I like doing some of the writing. It's just technical stories and layouts that bog me down.
No problem. In addition to turnkey projects, the Newsletter Factory gives you a smorgasbord of services from design and proofread to edit or full write. The Newsletter Factory can also help with printing and mailing. They keep you informed the whole way. Plus, the process is cost-effective and streamlined, so the Newsletter Factory doesn't have to compensate for lost time or mistakes.
Just like a factory.
Now you're catching on. Call the Newsletter Factory at 800-788-9550 to get started today. Or visit them on the web at www.newsletterfactory.com.
I will, thanks.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Waitsfield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls.
The Tom Hartman Show, 12 p.m. till 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, taking your calls, talking to celebrities like Raven Simone from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briard.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out. So he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Charisse Dolittle, who talks to the animals and you don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All the need is love.
Animal Talk on the IE America Radio Network.
The Mike Molloy Show.
Apparently, Simple Scotty missed the memo from Bush stating that everybody had to stop trying to link Saddam to 911.
The most dangerous threat we face in a post-September 11th world is the nexus between outlaw regimes with weapons of mass destruction and terrorists. Saddam Hussein had a history of weapons of mass destruction.
Maybe before you were born, you little jackass! Did Scotty not get the memo? There is no connection between 9/11 and Saddam. It came out of the Bush bastard's own mouth. It's come out of all their mouths. Condi Rice, Dick Cheney, Colin Powell, all of them. Scotty, hello.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Burn down the motor to my boat if I'm a member of the royal family. This is Tom Hartman back with you on the IE America Radio Network. Greetings to Agarab, Coach Glenn, Fur Mountain Doug, Gnarlodius, Pace Cop, Tahoe, Kevin, and Guest 9 in our chat room also. And we have Curtis in Portland on the line. Curtis, welcome to the Tom Hartman program. Portland, Oregon, eh?
Morning, Tom.
Hey, Curtis.
Hey, I don't know why you're making such a big stink about this 14-year-old in prison, considering all the time that W spent for his cocaine sales and his two DWIs and his raping of a woman.
Well, George W. actually performed several months of community service for his cocaine arrest, and that's a member of matter of public record. In fact, he refers to it in his autobiography, although he doesn't point out that it was the result of an arrest for possession of cocaine. And so, you know, he had some consequences as well.
He also stated publicly that he was going to get the bottom of the case to who outed the CIA agent, so.
Yeah, he did?
Well, he's a man of his word, isn't he?
Yeah. I don't recall him having, thank you, John. I don't recall him having publicly said that he was going to get to the bottom of that case. In fact, to the contrary, what I recall George W. Bush saying was something more like this right here.
And I don't know. We're going to find out. The senior administration official. Now, this is a large administration, and there's a lot of senior officials. I don't have any idea.
That's what I remember him saying.
Well, I remember it, too, but...
Yeah, a little different.
I think you did catch that sarcasm in there.
Yeah, I did. I did.
Okay.
So what are you going to do about it, Curtis?
I wish I knew.
I'm How about contacting your elected officials? How
well,
about contact? Yeah, contact your member of the House of Representatives, since this happened in the House of Representatives, and say, hey, it looks like a federal felony has been committed. It casts a poor light on all of you guys. How can I trust you with this sort of thing going on? And, you know, see what happened. Curtis, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, transforming the world by revitalizing democracy. Stay tuned. We'll be back after the news with Bernie Sanders.
It's coming from a field that this ain't exactly real, or it's real, but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from sirens night and day, from the fires of the...
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio show about animals.
Welcome to Lifestyles of the Wet and Stinky. We're looking at fishy fat cats and wealthy crustaceans. This is Bloodsucking Leech here, sending you algae-covered wishes and caviar-laying dreams.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
Yes, I'm calling
about the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off...
Why?
...is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, on IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. A powerful earthquake struck the ancient Silk Road city of Bam in southeastern Iran on Friday, killing at least 4,000 people and injuring some 30,000 others, state television said. The television said the number was only an initial statistic and indicated the death toll was expected to rise further. Iranian TV said about 70% of the buildings in the historic city, a popular tourist destination 6 miles southeast of the capital, Tehran, had collapsed in the earthquake, which measured 6.3 on the Richter scale. Reuters witnesses said many houses had been flattened and squares were packed with crying children and people left without a home, huddled in blankets to protect them from the cold. Guerrillas extended the biggest insurgent attacks in Iraq since Saddam Hussein's capture, killing 4 soldiers in mortar and bomb attacks, the U.S. military said on Friday. A roadside bomb killed 1 soldier and wounded another when it exploded by a convoy near Baqaba, about 40 miles north of Baghdad, early on Friday. A 2nd soldier was killed the same day trying to defuse a bomb outside the town, a military spokesman said. 2 other U.S. soldiers were killed in a mortar attack on a U.S. camp near Baqaba on Thursday. Government food safety officials are working through the holidays to prevent a potential outbreak of mad cow disease while assuring Americans that their beef supply has not been tainted by the 1 confirmed case. Confirmation that a Holstein cow in Washington State had the deadly disease came Thursday from the Veterinary Laboratories Agency in Weybridge, England. British researchers agreed with the reading of U.S. tests on the stricken cow. Those tests led U.S. officials to preliminarily conclude that the animal had the brain-wasting disease. More IE America Radio Network news after this.
Hi, I'm Morgan Freeman. America's national park system is one of the best ideas our country ever had, and I've got a lifetime of memories to prove it. But our parks are in trouble. Inadequate funding and other pressures are risking some of America's most awe-inspiring places. To help, visit www.americansfornationalparks.org or call 1-800-NATPARK, 1-800-NATPARK. There's just too much to lose.
A reporter for the NBC television station KTUU in Anchorage, Alaska, found her way into the national spotlight while taping a scene with a young reindeer named Blitzen at the Santa Claus house in North Pole. Just as the Santa hat-clad Megan Stapleton knelt down with the reindeer's leash in hand, a spooked Blitzen leaped at the reporter, knocking her down in a manner one witness described as a tackle. Stapleton was not injured and even managed to hold on to the leash to keep Blitzen from running away, though he did drag her a couple of feet. I thought the last thing I wanted to do was let Blitzen get away, especially 2 days before Christmas, Stapleton said. For IE America Radio Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Wish I could watch some TV, if only my couch wasn't 43,000 feet away.
When you're in bed with the flu, the smallest distance can seem impossible.
If only the medicine cabinet wasn't way across the state line.
If only. If only you had the strength. You need Advil Flu and Body Ache. The power of Advil so nothing works harder on body aches, headaches, and fever. Plus a hard-working decongestant. Makes having the flu a lot more comfortable.
Now, if only I had a plasma TV.
Fight the flu with Advil Flu and Body Ache. Use as directed.
At last, the golden age of television is upon us. But alas, this is not the golden age of TV quality, but literally the age of TV gold, when advertisers have become the programming. Leading the way is Disney's ABC television network, which has now opened its expanse of our public airwaves to complete domination by sponsors. I don't mean just the ads that sponsors run on its shows, or even the not-so-subtle placement of sponsors' products in the shows, but rather sponsors that become the featured character of the show. Sears has stepped out as the first of ABC's new advertising stars, putting itself forward as the centerpiece of the network's latest reality show called Extreme Makeover: Home Edition. Not that Sears has any actual dramatic talent, but it does have more than $1 million that it paid to ABC to write the corporation into the script of this 6-part series portraying stories of home renovation. The actual actors will be using Sears tools in their work, adding Sears appliances to the renovated homes and decorating with Sears furniture. If that's too subtle for viewers, there'll also be Sears trucks delivering merchandise. Branded workers from Sears Home Improvement Centers will occasionally arrive on the scene, and the show's cast will make trips to Sears for supplies. The commercially crass rationale for this all-Sears show is that advertisers need a way to outfox you TV viewers who are using your clickers to zap past those annoying commercial breaks. So forget the ads. The sponsors will be the shows. To fabricate this great leap forward, ABC even has a senior vice president for integrated marketing and promotion. He assures us that while, quote, Sears plays a role in the personality of the show, ABC would never take it to the point where it would seem like a bunch of logos slapped in a show. This is Jim Hightower saying, see, there still are a few artistic standards in television.
If you had the chance to date Anna Nicole Smith, would you?
I found her appealing a few years ago, but there were things about her that intrigued me. That's all. I mean, I don't always get intrigued
by
them.
I just can't believe you, of all people, would choose a date based simply on the physical.
Are you kidding? I hate to disappoint you.
You're a dirty dog.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
He's the man who uncovers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
Welcome back. You're listening to the nation's largest nationally syndicated daytime progressive talk show. This is Tom Hartman defending America from the conservative weapons of mass deception on the IE America Radio Network, streaming, beaming live coast to coast on terrestrial radio stations, streaming from the depths of outer space on the Sirius satellite radio system, stream 145, Sirius left. And radiopower.org on the internet with over 10,000 listeners a day in over 100 countries, as well as ieamericaradio.com and live365.com. Our quote for this hour is from Edward G. Ryan, the Chief Justice of Wisconsin's Supreme Court in 1873. Just as the Gilded Age was really starting to go rip-roaring, which produced the populist backlash, which I think, you know, history's repeating itself, he said, "There is looming up a new and dark power. The enterprises of the country are aggregating vast corporate combinations of unexampled capital, boldly marching, not for economical conquests only, but for political power. The question will arise, and arise in your day, though not perhaps not fully in mine, which shall rule, wealth or man? Which shall lead, money or intellect? Who shall fill public stations? Educated and patriotic free men, or the feudal serfs of corporate capital?" End of quote. It's the second hour of our Friday program. It's Brunch with Bernie time. We're with America's congressman, the only independent member of the House of Representatives, Congressman Bernie Sanders. 1991 became the first independent congressman elected in over 40 years. He has since been reelected 5 times. He's the longest serving independent in the history of the House of Representatives. Bernie Sanders, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Tom, it's good to be with you.
Hey, Bernie, always great to have our Brunch with Bernie segment here on Friday afternoons. I'm so glad you could make it.
And let me just take this opportunity to wish all of the listeners a very happy holiday season and a healthy new year.
Thank you. Thank you. And ditto. And happy Boxing Day.
Right. For our Canadian friends.
Well, we have listeners in the UK. We've had calls to this program from Scotland, from England, from Australia.
Well, that's fantastic. And you're doing a great job in combating, what do you call it, the conservative weapons of mass deception. That's good terminology.
Yeah. And I appreciate your help in it. Bernie, let's recap the year. What do you see as the big events of the year?
I'll tell you, to me, and I may be the only person in America who looks at this way, is, Tom, if you look at the major issues facing America, the major issues are the quality of our democracy, whether people know what's going on in their country, in the world, whether they know how to respond, whether we can create a vibrant democracy, or whether we have a situation where a few people tell us what they consider to be important, and they get us marching in the direction they want us to go. So within that context, you know what interests me? What interests me is more and more people in this country are waking up to corporate control over the media, knowing that the most important issues facing the middle class and working Americans get very, very little coverage, and day after day after day, we are deflected to Michael Jackson or Colby Bryant or Lacey Peterson or Paris Hilton or wherever they want to take us. But somehow or another, we don't focus on the issues that face ordinary Americans. And more people, Tom, are catching on to that issue.
Yeah, you know, Bernie, since we started this program earlier in the year, every time Silvio Berlusconi is in the news, I've got actually the music, the national anthem of Italy, which I play, and I do a Berlusconi alert, you know, and every time I take an opportunity to remind people that this guy started out as a small-time crook and entrepreneur, built his way up in business in some part by apparently bribing judges, since his business partner just went to prison for that, and they had to pass through Congress, through Parliament, a special exemption so that he could not be prosecuted while he was prime minister. He bought a television station. He bought another one. He bought a radio station. He bought another one. He now owns all the television networks in Italy except the one owned by the state. He has put his cronies in as the entire board of directors of the state-owned one. He owns most of the radio stations in Italy. He's now trying to buy all of the newspapers in Italy. And once he owned all of that media, he and his party ran for prime minister. I mean, you know, you don't run for prime minister, but he put his party forward and he won. And all these, you know, and he was indicted for corruption. He's been indicted for bribing a federal judge. All this stuff, and we constantly do these Berlusconi alerts because I want people to realize what can happen when a media empire like this takes over a nation. And now we see. I'd like your thoughts on this Rupert Murdoch and DirecTV. Now he just gathered what 44 million more listeners and all this kind of stuff.
That's right. Well, I think your point about Berlusconi is absolutely right, and that is the trend. The trend is the merger of media and politics. Berlusconi is probably the poster child for that. Imagine having the leader of the country, the guy who controls all of the media. And I fear very much that that's the direction not only that we're moving in the United States, but that we're moving all over the world. You mentioned Rupert Murdoch, and we know that Murdoch's news corporation now has been able to take over DirecTV, which is a major satellite television provider, and that will give this guy even more control. And I think people, and you do a good job on this, Tom, but that is what we have got to focus on. And then we have to ask ourselves, what is the agenda of these guys? Are these guys interested in a vibrant democracy? Are they really staying up nights worrying about the middle class and working families? Do they really talk about the issues, the day-to-day issues that impact people? Let me just give you some examples, and I want the listeners to comment on this. Tell me what they think. I happen to believe that it is a serious problem in this country when the wealthiest 1% of the population owns more wealth than the bottom 95%, and that the richest 1% earn, income-wise, more income than the bottom 40% of the country. Is that an important issue? I think it is a hugely important issue. You tell me, Tom, how often do we talk about distribution of wealth and income in America?
Yeah, outside of this program, never.
I mean, so you have, you know, people may argue, people may call up and say, hey, that's what America is. You go out and make billions while we have children sleeping out on the street. That's the way it is. That's, you know, that's the law of the jungle, and I believe in that. Fine. I don't have a problem with somebody saying that. But let's have that discussion. The president and others are faith-based. They talk about religion. Well, you know, my reading of the Bible is that you don't ally yourself, you don't align yourself with the rich and the powerful against the poor and against the children. And that's what we're seeing right now. We are seeing another issue. You tell me how much. You know, you're versant on this issue. You read. In America right now, people are working longer hours than they have since the 1920s. Over the last 30 years, workers in middle-income families with children have added an average of 20 weeks at work a year, five more months over the last 30 years. So what you're seeing now is you need two breadwinners in a family, and most of that additional work time is coming from wives who are now forced to join the workforce. Do we hear much discussion about that?
Yeah, no, never, never. Bernie, we've got a couple of callers on the line.
Okay, well, we're going right away.
Okay, yeah, you've touched some nerves. The first one is Bernie in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Bernie, welcome to the Tom Hartman program. You're on the air with Bernie Sanders and Tom Hartman.
You must mean Glenn in Tulsa.
Oh, Glenn in, okay, it was Glenn in Tulsa calling for Bernie. I thought that was an odd coincidence. Okay, hey, Glenn, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Hey, for Christmas, I got a new book by Carville called Had Enough, and he lays out a lot of stuff. And, you know, one of the glaring things I see regularly is that all these deficits are terrible. You know, Democrats tax and spend, create deficits, Republicans, and he lists 67 of them who voted in 92, 94, 95, and then 27, actually, a few of them who weren't in Congress then, who then voted for deficit, a national amendment, an amendment.
Probably a balanced budget amendment.
Balanced budget amendment, right. And now they voted for these huge tax cuts and are saying deficits don't matter, we'll just pass them on to our kids.
That's right.
We'll pass them on to their kids.
That's right.
As if the interest isn't going to build up and eat up all the available money.
That's right.
And it's really a sneaky plan, I think, for them to starve the government from Medicare, Social Security, and all the things that are going to protect us, because they couldn't go out there and openly cut them. So now they can just, if this goes through, they can just say, we don't have the money.
Well, I think Glenn hit it right on the head. I think the long-term plan is not only to give tax breaks to millionaire and billionaire supporters. That is disgusting, but that's what politics is about. But there's a more cynical plan afoot, and that is if you run up huge deficits and you run up huge national debts, then what you do is you come before the American people and you say, gee, you know what? We just can't maintain Social Security. We can't maintain Medicare. We can't maintain Medicaid or the Veterans Administration. So I think Glenn has hit it right on the head. But what interests me also, and Tom, again, you tell me what you think on this one. When Gingrich was running high, that's all these guys were talking about was the deficit. The media every day, my God, how terrible it is to leave.
All the way back to Barry Goldwater.
That's right. You remember they used to have this big thing up there with every minute you were seeing the increase in the national debt? Remember that ticking away?
Yeah, the debt clock is back, by the way.
$4 trillion, it's gone up to $5 trillion. Where is that discussion right now? You got the President of the United States giving us the largest deficit in the history of this country. National debt is going up. We're going to pay hundreds of billions of dollars every single year on the national debt. We're giving tax breaks to the rich and letting our kids and grandchildren pay for that. Now, again, some people may call up and say, hey, you know, it's going to stimulate the economy, it does that. Fine. But where is the focus? If deficits were so terrible 10 years ago, why aren't they terrible today? If it was immoral 10 years ago to leave huge debts to our kids and our grandchildren, why isn't it immoral today? Who's talking about it today? And again, I get back to the media and the hypocrisy there. If you want to be a conservative, conservatives are not supposed to run up huge deficits and leave national debts to our kids and grandchildren.
Well, I think even liberals shouldn't. This is something that transcends political labels. This is rational economics.
It really does. But my point is, 10 years ago, that's all we were hearing about. Suddenly, George Bush is doing it. Hey, what's the problem? And let me tell you something. This is the most Here's a guy. This is irresponsibility of the worst kind, to simply give tax breaks to billionaires so that our grandkids can pay for that. That is an outrage.
Yeah, it absolutely is. This is one of the most hypocritical, and in my opinion, I mean, I have really studied this. I used to think that the Ulysses S. Grant administration was the most corrupt in history, with the railroad bribery scandals that caused, you know, that he was so bad his own Republican Party wouldn't nominate him for a third term, even though he begged them to. So many of his officials had to leave office during the railroad bribery scandals, but this administration beats them all. It's just mind-boggling, and the media is right in bed with them. We have Keith in Burlington, Vermont, and Tony in Waukegan, Illinois on the line. Hang on, guys. We'll get to you right after the break. This is Tom Hartman with Bernie Sanders on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
If you think people are more important than corporations, you need to see The Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free 1-800-205-7067 or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067 or populist.com or The Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
The Founding Fathers thought they'd stop corporations from ever overthrowing elected government. Little did they know that 200 years later, democracy would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom Hartman. The Founders of America fought the Revolutionary War against the excessive corporate power of the East India Company, and presidents from Jefferson to Eisenhower warned us that extremely big businesses could destroy democracy. You'll find this extraordinary American story in my book, Unequal Protection: The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. It starts with the Boston Tea Party and ends with the rampant corruption of the Bush administration. It tells the dramatic story of how corporations hijacked the Bill of Rights, setting the stage for the CEO takeover of America. And it shows how we can take America back and tells the stories of Americans from Pennsylvania to California who are doing just that right now.
Unequal Protection is available in bookstores nationwide. And you can read several chapters online at unequalprotection.com. That's Unequal Protection by Tom Hartman.
The Tom Hartman Show.
We have Bob in Texas. It's called Bob. Welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
You know, it's just wonderful to hear your show. I got the Sirius Satellite Radio because of this channel, and your show is worth every cent of it.
Well, thank you.
It's really nice to hear a radio show that, for one thing, you don't have to throw things at, you know, after a little while. You're talking about ideas and about historical context of what's going on, and that's so important. You don't hear this kind of intellectual, this level of thought anywhere else on the radio, and I sure appreciate it. But the big thing I keep worrying about is we have to, I mean, I think Al Franken's right in that we have to, we've been taking it and we've been taking it, and they've slimed us for so many years, and we can't take it anymore.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
This
is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Welcome back, where despair is not an option. Get active. This is Tom Hartman bringing you Uncommon Sense from the Radical Middle. And today, Brunch with Bernie. It's our Bernie Sanders segment, the second hour of our Friday program. And Congressman Bernie Sanders, America's congressman, the only independent in the House of Representatives, and one of the most extraordinary politicians we have in the United States, a national treasure. We have Keith in Burlington, Vermont, with a question or comment. Hey, Keith, welcome to the Tom Hartman program. You're on the air with Tom and Bernie. I think we have Keith. Hey, John, what happened to Keith? Guess he's not there. Okay, let's go to Tony in Waukegan. Keith, if you're listening to your radio, you need to listen to the telephone instead. Hey, Tony in Waukegan, Illinois. Welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Hey, how you doing?
Great.
I have a couple of comments. I've called in many times, and now that I have a congressman on the line, I'd really like to ask him his impression about the No Child Left Behind. I'm a teacher here in Illinois. I teach high school, and I think this No Child Left Behind bill, I don't know how it passed, but this thing is designed, as far as I can tell, it's only designed to do one thing, and that's literally to rip the guts out of public education as we know it. I don't see how any real public school can possibly meet the expectations that they put forward in this bill long term, much less short term. And they're not funding it, and even if they did, the expectations are unrealistic. That's one aspect of things. And the second thing I'd like to ask about is, how do you see the Republican Party claiming to be such a ethical and moral and allegedly Christian type of organization that constantly is talking about not wanting to fund schools in terms of paying for kids to eat, not funding health care for kids, not caring about, you know, the poor, the hungry, the people who can't find work? You know, I heard about them not wanting to extend unemployment benefits for people who hadn't been able to find work over the last 26 or 28 weeks or something like that. I mean, how do they reconcile these things? And that's kind of like the congressman.
Tom's asked a lot of good questions there. I voted against No Child Left Behind. I think it's a very bad educational policy. I think, as Tom indicates, it is consistent with the goal of the Bush administration to move toward the privatization of public schools in America, with a great emphasis on religious schools. And I think that that is a disaster. I find it incredible that the Bush administration can come up with hundreds of billions of dollars in funding for tax breaks for millionaires and billionaires, but when it comes to adequately funding public education, or Head Start, or child care, there's just no money available. So I think Tom's point is probably right, that in the recesses of these guys' minds, and they're sometimes public about it, they really want to eliminate the role the government plays in protecting the American people in almost every area of our life. So it's not just public education, which they want to privatize. Some of them call it government schools, you know, like China or the old Soviet Union, but it's Social Security, it's Medicare, it's the Veterans Administration, it's many jobs, federal jobs, you controllers in our airports as well. So I think Tom is right about that. The second issue deals with how do they claim to be moral.
Bernie, I'm going to have to. We're going to a break here in about three seconds, so I'm going to ask you to pick that up.
The bottom line is, these guys are not moral. They're carried by the media. They are at war against the poor and working class, and they represent big money interests. That, to me, is not morality.
Yeah, well said. Bernie Sanders with Tom Hartman here on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned. We'll be back.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
Hi, this is Mark the Animal Hottest from Animal Talk for IE America Radio Network, wishing you and yours a safe and happy holiday.
The environment isn't all bad news. A new book finds plenty to cheer about. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. If you're looking for an environmental hero, consider the Collins Pine Company. David Suzuki profiles the timber operation in his new book, Good News for a Change, How Everyday People Are Helping the Planet.
Here is a family-owned company that has been in operation now for 150 years. They do $250 million worth of business a year, so this is not a small logging company. This is a major corporation, and if you go through their forests, you don't see clear cuts anywhere. And their forests, which have been logged for 150 years, are considered among the best examples of what an old-growth forest should be. So you walk through their forests, you have no idea that there's a logging operation going on.
Collins Pine has 7,500 employees and operates in Pennsylvania, Oregon, and Northern California. Suzuki says the company is a good citizen any way you look at it.
They feel that they've got to return benefits of their operation to the community. So they take a considerable amount of their revenue to set up scholarships, to support community events and activities.
Suzuki and co-author Holly Dressel found other companies doing good things, including some that might surprise you. There's William Clayton Ford, head of the Ford Motor Company, who says the auto industry must cut the environmental impact of its products. Ford has promised to convert the company's SUVs to energy-efficient hybrid engines. Suzuki says even Nike, long considered a bad actor for its use of sweatshop labor, has responded to criticism. Suzuki says it's not all bad news out there, and he wants to credit those companies that are trying to do better. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Suzanne Cowardy.
I'm El Bracciacci, the famous mariachi.
Whatever.
This is Renee Scarponi.
Hey, baby.
This is Kim Kasnick.
Yeah, baby.
This is John Lucas.
Hey! This is Stephanie Stryker.
Yeah, bud!
This is Steve Damschutter.
This is Shaw Jones.
This is Bill Vellner.
Yeah!
Hi, this is Ron Metzinger.
From our family, cheers. Have
a happy holiday and a great new year.
Isn't that just too cute?
I like Santa Claus!
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune in to tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
And dump the reds in a pile, boy. Dump the reds in a pile. You'd better wipe off that smile, boy. Better wipe off that smile. We'll spit through the streets of the cities we wreck. And we'll find you a leader that you can elect. Those treaties we signed were a pain in the neck. Cause we're the cops of the world, boys. We're the cops of the world.
Phil Oakes, cops of the world. Welcome back. It's Tom Hartman with Bernie Sanders on the IE America Radio Network. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number if you have a question for Congressman Sanders. America's independent congressman. He's the longest-serving independent in the history of the House of Representatives. And 1-800-825-5937 is that number. Keith in Burlington, Vermont is on the line. Hey, Keith, welcome to the program. Keith, hey, Keith is going to do it again. Okay.
Bill Oaks in the background there, too. This is truly a major convergence here of some great minds.
There you go. Welcome, Keith.
I have a couple questions for the both of you, actually. The first one has to do with the topic du jour about corporate control over the government. I talked to you, Bernie, during the first campaign you ran for the House, and I asked you what your threshold issue was in getting any headway in all the issues that you and I agree on. And you said to me that at that time, this was 8-10 years ago, I guess, that campaign finance reform was the most important issue to address before we could really make any headway in all these other issues. And I'm sensing that you have sort of evolved in that position to realize that no matter what we do with campaign finance reform, the corporations will find a way around it or quash it in a Republican-controlled House or Senate. What's your opinion now if I were to ask you that same question? What's the threshold issue?
That's a good question, Keith, and your memory is good, and I think that's probably what I told you at the time. And I believe that still, because so long as big money can make huge contributions to candidates for the president, and as you know, George Bush is on his way to raising $200 million for his primary election. He doesn't have a primary opponent. So long as big money can dictate who gets to Washington, who gets the governor's chairs, it's going to be very difficult to change the politics of the country. But I think what goes on, it's not only big money in terms of electing candidates, it's big money in terms of media determining what we see here in Reed. It is big money in terms of lobbying. The pharmaceutical industry has spent hundreds of millions of dollars in recent years to make sure that we continue to pay the highest prices in the world for prescription drugs, and they and their friends make sure we don't have a national health care program. So I would say you add all of these things together, and the challenge of the moment, and I think about this every day, and I hope all of the listeners do, how do we bring the middle class and working families and lower income people together? How do we organize people? How do we get them involved politically around a progressive agenda to take power in the United States of America away from these guys? And that's kind of what I wrestle with. No simple solutions, but that's the issue that I think about.
These folks are in the Congress, and they're essentially bought and employed by those same moneyed interests. How do we get them to vote against their employers?
Well, they're not going to. Keith, what has to be done is we need to deal with the reality that in the last off-presidential election, 40% of the people voted. Most young people don't vote. Most working people don't vote. Most low-income people don't vote. So the challenge is not just to go into the Congress now and say, hey, guys, gotten all this money from big money interest, change your views. It ain't going to happen. You're right. The challenge is to do mass mobilization among working people, change the political culture in this country. You know what really upsets me is our Republican friends, Rush Limbaugh and that whole crowd, they know that politics takes place 365 days a year. Our side does not. And we've got to change that political culture, get people knocking on doors, get their friends, their co-workers, their students starting to think about the major issues facing ordinary people in America.
Tom, well, I'm hoping you could chime in at this point. What can we do politically and socially to take away the power that the corporations have acquired over the last 150, 200 years?
Yeah. Keith, good question, and thank you. I appreciate the call. There's two things. Number one, there's a huge movement against corporate personhood in the United States, and that's a whole other rant, and you've heard, if you listen to this program regularly, you've heard me talk about that. And secondly, you know, last week when Bernie was on, we played a clip of Teddy Roosevelt talking about a living wage. And Teddy Roosevelt, of course, was president in 1905. And let me just very quickly read, and again, those of you who listen to the program regularly have heard this, but Bernie, I think you'll find this fascinating. It's only four sentences here. Read Wisconsin Law 4479A, Section 1, Chapter 492, passed in 1905. It was an update, actually, of a law that was originally passed in the around 1807. And laws like this were on the books in every state in the United States, and they only started being removed in the 1920s and 1930s. This law was not removed until 1947 in Wisconsin. And this is the law that said that what we today call lobbying was then called bribery and influencing. And here's the law. This is the Wisconsin statute, section 4479. Political contributions by corporations. No corporation doing business in this state shall pay or contribute or offer consent or agree or pay or contribute directly or indirectly any money, property, free service of its officers or employees or thing of value to any political party, organization, committee, or individual for any political purpose whatsoever or for the purpose of influencing legislation of any kind or to promote or defeat the candidacy of any person for nomination, appointment, or election to any political office. A penalty. Any officer, employee, agent, or attorney or other representative of any corporation acting for and in behalf of such corporation who shall violate this act shall be punished by imprisonment in the state prison for a period of not less than 1 nor more than 5 years or by both such fine and imprisonment at the discretion of the court. If a corporation, it shall be judged, shall be subject to the penalty then by forfeiture in double the amount of any fine, and if a domestic corporation, it shall be dissolved. And that was the result of the populist backlash to the Gilded Age. And now we're back in the Gilded Age again, and I'm seeing another populist backlash, and I'd like to see laws like that being reintroduced. Your thoughts on that, Bernie? And then we got three more callers here to get to.
Well, for a start also, I think what you need, getting back to Keith's original point about campaign finance reform, you need public funding of elections and limitations on the amount of money that can be spent.
Right.
That would take us a long way, I think, to create a level playing field, allowing candidates to win election who represented the middle class rather than just the rich.
Yeah, well said. I was invited to speak at Oxford University last year and was startled to hear in the discussion after my speech that if you run for the House of Commons there, you can't spend more than £100,000, period, you know, regardless of where you get the money from.
Right.
And these limits, just, you know, hey, how much in debt can you get to a corporation if
right.
that's the limit? Okay, 1-800-TALK, yes, our number, 1-800-825-5937. Rama in Vermont is on the line. Hey, Rama, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program with Bernie Sanders.
Hello, Tom, and hello, Bernie.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. You're my representative, too, and I'm proud to have voted for you, I think, every time that you've run. So
thanks very much.
A comment and then a question. The comment's real short here. Is just how far, you know, this public outreach that you guys are talking about has come, although I know it has to go a lot further. But, you know, Bernie, I can remember 10 years ago you sitting there and you spent most of your time speaking to the public on late-night C-SPAN. So you've come a long, long, long way since then, and I congratulate you on all the hard work that you've done.
Well, you too. I know you've been doing a lot of work in the media as well.
Well, thank you, sir. And the question is, one of the things that we talked about a lot over the years was the Gulf War syndrome, and I was wondering if you're still heavily involved in that and if there's any updates and all, and I'll just hang up and listen.
Rama, I know, has been very interested. Rama did radio in central Vermont. The whole Gulf War illness syndrome, which we were very involved in and are still involved in. Bottom line is that despite tremendous opposition from the Department of Defense and the VA in terms of recognizing the severity of the problem, approximately 100,000 American soldiers who served in the first Gulf War are suffering from one or another aspect of Gulf War syndrome. There is some breakthrough. There have been some breakthroughs in recent years. Dr. Robert Haley, who's at the University of Texas, seems to have discovered that what we are looking at is a brain damage caused by low level sarin and other types of toxicity, which have caused symptoms which that we now refer to as Gulf War illness. So he has, I think, done some excellent research. He is beginning now to get some support from the federal government. I would say that's the major step forward that I have seen in recent years.
What do you think about depleted uranium, Bernie?
I think it's a real problem. And again, I think we don't get anywhere near the kind of honest discussion about the implications of that in terms of what it has done to people who have been exposed to that. You know, the truth is, if you just take a step back and you look at how the DOD, Department of Defense, and the VA have treated veterans for so many years, it is really, really a disgrace. You'll remember, Tom, that the government refused to acknowledge the health problems associated to nuclear radiation.
Mm-hmm.
Vietnam veterans who may be listening to this program remember how hard it was, what kind of struggle it was for the veterans organizations to get the government to acknowledge the dangers of Agent Orange.
Oh, yeah.
And Rama just calls up and reminds us again what happened in 1991 with Gulf War illness. You would think that it would be the Veterans Administration and the Department of Defense would be the first people to acknowledge the problems that veterans have suffered on the battlefield, and yet it is only kicking and screaming that they finally come up with the kind of compensation and help that our veterans need in so many instances.
Yeah, unfortunately. 1-800-TALK-YES, our number, 1-800-825-5937. It's Brunch with Bernie Sanders, America's congressman. Armand in Sarasota, California is on the line. Hey, Armand, welcome to the program. You're on live with Bernie and Tom.
Thank you very much. I have two questions. Hi, Bernie. How are you?
How are you doing, Armand?
That's not real. Okay. It's a question, but that's not one of the ones I want to ask. But anyway, the first one for you and Tom is, do you know who said this statement here? If people can be made to believe in lies and propaganda, surely they can be called to believe in truth and justice.
Well, I'm failing your test, Armand. Let's move along.
I'm failing it too. I'm sorry.
Yours truly.
Okay.
I thought of that yesterday.
All right. Well, okay. There you go.
Okay, and then the other question I have is, do you know anything about a bill that the Republicans are trying to get through Congress? And what they want to do is they want to make trickle-nomics a 501c-based religion exemption. You know anything about that?
Well, I think what these guys are trying to do in a number of ways is try to get public money into religious organizations. So it would not surprise me that they would move in that direction in the economic field as well.
Yeah, this is the great sucking up to corporations, big corporations and big religion, big organized religion.
And, you know, as a caller pointed out earlier, there is something really bad about using religion for political purposes. When for many of us, what religion is about is compassion. It is reaching out to the people in need. It is not defending the rich and the powerful. It is not being pro-war, and yet in the midst of all of that, these guys talk about religion, and I have a little bit of difficulty with that.
Yeah, James Madison, actually, in, I forget the year, but anyhow, he vetoed, when he was a member of the House of Representatives, he vetoed strongly voted against and fought vigorously, and then later as president vetoed a similar one, bills that would provide for money to give to churches to provide for the poor, saying that this was the beginning of the end of the wall of separation. He didn't use the phrase wall of separation, that was Jefferson's, but in his own words, that wall of separation between church and state, and that he thought it was entirely inappropriate that the government should give any money to any religious organization whatsoever for any purpose, period, and that caring for the poor was a secular purpose.
And here we are today with the Bushes.
Yeah, it's bizarre. 1-800-TALK-YES, our number, Rob in Newtown, Pennsylvania, is on the line. Hey, Rob, welcome to the program.
Hey, Tom, how's it going?
Good. What's up?
Bernie, I was reading yesterday, revisiting the Project for a New American Century's position paper that they put out in 2000, kind of spelling out their plans for going into Iraq and the kind of war that they do. And I happened to look at the guy who wrote it. He now has a job as an nice sweet job working for one of the for Boeing, I think.
Was that Richard Pearl?
Pardon me?
Who was that, Richard Pearl?
No, I could dig it up in a second while I'm talking to you. But what really came to my mind was a realization that what they did, what PNAC did, was they put together a plan that was going to just feed an enormous amount of business to the businesses that were supporting them.
Uh-huh.
And it made me think that's what the left has to do. You can't, I mean, I don't think it's possible at this point in history to just turn around in the next 2 years and say, we're not going to deal with businesses. We have to get them to work for us, and I think the way to do it is to enact legislation that makes them want to do good stuff. So I wrote a piece. I came up with, like, in just a half an hour, I came up with, 16 or 17 different ways that it would be really easy to make businesses give them rewards for doing good things, like...
Mm-hmm.
Instead of spending money on war, spend it on renewable energy. Instead of spending it on fighting, give them giving them tax breaks for.
We're running out of time here, Rob. We got your point, and after this break, Bernie will come back and comment on it. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. It's Brunch with Bernie, and we'll be right back.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817. The Washington Monthly.
Excuse me. Pardon me.
Slow down, Kyle. You'll choke on your coffee.
Can't. Have to finish getting the newsletter out before I can do anything else on my schedule today.
I used to have that problem before I discovered the Newsletter Factory.
Well, how'd they help you?
Their expert team of writers, editors, designers, and project coordinators do all my hard work for me. The Newsletter Factory even developed a readership survey that helped me produce the most appropriate content.
Sounds great, but I like doing some of the writing. It's just technical stories and layouts that bog me down.
No problem. In addition to turnkey projects, the Newsletter Factory gives you a smorgasbord of services from design and proofread to edit or full write. The Newsletter Factory can also help with printing and mailing. They keep you informed the whole way. Plus, the process is cost-effective and streamlined, so the Newsletter Factory doesn't have to compensate for lost time or mistakes.
Just like a factory.
Now you're catching on. Call the Newsletter Factory at 800-788-9550 to get started today. Or visit them on the web at www.newsletterfactory.com.
I will, thanks.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Waitsfield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 48.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday for Animal Celebrity Boxing.
Boxing kicks butt.
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
Yeah, what a cat.
And that dog on ice, Tanya Harding.
Yeah, that dog will fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Sunday.
Mike Molloy Show.
According to the GAO report, many items needed to establish a laboratory for making biological warfare agents were being sold on the internet to the public from the Department of Defense's excess property inventory for pennies on the dollar. So the next time the Bush crime family says, well, it's time to invade, oh, let me close my eyes, spin me around, okay, let me point, ah, Syria, because they have weapons of mass destruction.
Ah, this is so much fun. Spin me around again. Iran! Oh, I love this game. Uncle Dick, can I play this game so much?
The next time we do that, is it not incumbent upon us to ask where they got the equipment that they used to make weapons of mass destruction?
Fastag says $27 billion. It's yours for $1.29.
The Mike Molloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
And welcome back. It's Tom Hartman with Bernie Sanders on the IE America Radio Network. Congressman Bernie Sanders. Bernie, we've got 3 minutes left in this segment. We've got Margaret in Illinois with a quick question. We'll get her in and get her question, and then you can answer both her and Rob, if that's
okay,
all right with you.
Okay, let's do that.
Great. Margaret, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program. You're on the air with Bernie Sanders.
Thank you. Mr. Sanders.
You're going to have to speak up, Margaret.
I have a dilemma concerning Social Security.
Yeah.
I draw a teacher's pension, and I was given letters as to what I would be drawing in Social Security throughout the years. What I paid in is what I should have drawn. And they cut it two-thirds, called it double-dipping. And I'm wondering if any congressman or anyone is going to take up this issue.
Margaret, the answer is yes. Many of us are. It's a national problem, and there is legislation that has been proposed to address that issue. Teachers should be getting what they were promised, and some of us are working on that.
Well, should she be contacting her elected representative, Brian?
Absolutely.
Contact your congressperson there, Margaret.
Okay.
Do you have the telephone number, Margaret?
Senator or congressman?
Yeah. Well, you want to do both. But this is legislation that is being discussed, that has been proposed, and we certainly want to pass it. So
and,
I would suggest you contact your local people.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, the phone number, Margaret, in Washington is area code 202-224-3121. And I'll say that again at the beginning of the next hour so that Bernie can continue here.
Okay.
Thank you, Margaret.
And Tom, while we're at it, let me throw in my website in Washington. It's bernie.house.gov. A whole lot of information about what's going on in Congress and around the country. Going back to Rob's question, he says, shouldn't we be working with businesses that want to do good things, want to create jobs, want to protect the environment? And he's absolutely right. Instead of giving tens and tens of billions of dollars in tax breaks and subsidies to companies that are shutting down in America and moving to China or to Mexico or wherever, we should be supporting those companies that want to create decent-paying jobs in this country. Instead of giving huge, huge subsidies to the pharmaceutical industry, we should, and to insurance companies, we should be working with those people who are interested in providing quality health care to the American people, and on it goes. So there's a lot of work to be done with medium and small-sized businesses that want to do good things for the American people.
Well done. And Jimmy Carter, you know, started a lot of that with, of course, Reagan undid it. But, Bernie, just as a minutia here, February 21st, 1811 was when James Madison vetoed that bill. He said that the bill to, quote, provide support for the support of the poor and education of poor children of the same would be a precedent for giving to religious societies and is therefore unacceptable, end quote. Amazing. Bernie Sanders, thanks so much for being with us today.
Good to be with you.
Thank you. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned. We'll be back after the news.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
Dan Gowardy.
I'm El Bracciotti, the famous mariachi.
Whatever.
This is Renee Scarponi.
Hey, baby.
This is Kim Kasnick.
Yeah, baby.
This is John Lucas.
Hey.
is Stephanie Stryker.
Yeah, bud.
This is Steve Damshire.
This is Shaw Jones.
This is Bill Vellner.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Ron Metzinger.
Our family cheers. Have a
happy holiday and a great new year.
Isn't that just so cute?
I like Santa Claus.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. Guerrillas extended the biggest insurgent attacks in Iraq since Saddam Hussein's capture, killing four soldiers in mortar and bomb attacks, the U.S. military said on Friday. A roadside bomb killed one soldier and wounded another when it exploded by a convoy near Baqaba, about 40 miles north of Baghdad, early on Friday. A second soldier was killed the same day trying to defuse a bomb outside the town, a military spokesman said. Two other U.S. soldiers were killed in a mortar attack on a U.S. camp near Baqaba on Thursday. A powerful earthquake struck the ancient Silk Road city of Bam in southeastern Iran on Friday, killing at least 4,000 people and injuring some 30,000 others, state television said. The television said the number was only an initial statistic and indicated the death toll was expected to rise further. Iranian TV said about 70% of the buildings in the historic city, a popular tourist destination 6 miles southeast of the capital, Tehran, had collapsed in the earthquake, which measured 6.3 on the Richter scale. Reuters witnesses said many houses had been flattened and squares were packed with crying children and people left without a home, huddled in blankets to protect them from the cold. Bombers set off two massive blasts near Pakistani President Pervez Musharraf's motorcade Thursday, killing 12 people and themselves in the second assassination attempt against Musharraf in 11 days. The president was unhurt, but at least 46 other people were wounded. The blasts came just a day after Musharraf agreed to step down as army chief by the end of 2004. Musharraf appeared calm in an interview on state-run television about 7 hours after the attack, saying the attempt was the work of misguided extremists. More IE America Radio Network news after this.
Hi, I'm Morgan Freeman. America's national park system is one of the best ideas our country ever had, and I've got a lifetime of memories to prove it. But our parks are in trouble. Inadequate funding and other pressures are risking some of America's most awe-inspiring places. To help, visit www.americansfornationalparks.org or call 1-800-NATPARK. 1-800-NATPARK. There's just too much to lose.
A man who lost a Christmas lights competition at a Florida apartment complex became enraged and pulled several lights from the winner's display, according to Martin County Sheriff's reports. The contest winner told deputies a neighbor who thought he should have won ripped out some of her lights and unplugged two extension cords. She said a witness told her the neighbor also tore down his own display in a rage after Monday's competition. They were still looking for the neighbor, and no arrests were reported. The organizer of the contest told deputies he witnessed the damage and couldn't believe how things spiraled out of control. For IE America Radio Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
And tonight's winning jackpot numbers are... Jane, would you do the honors?
17, 6, 39, and...
Oh, cut. You sound awful.
Oh, my nose is runny. Head's all blocked up. I need my Alka-Seltzer Plus.
Only Alka-Seltzer Plus has an effervescent formula that breaks up nasal congestion and relieves your worst cold symptoms fast.
And the numbers are... Jane?
17, 6, 39, and 75.
Alka-Seltzer Plus breaks up your worst cold symptoms fast.
Thank you.
At last, the golden age of television is upon us. But alas, this is not the golden age of TV quality, but literally the age of TV gold, when advertisers have become the programming. Leading the way is Disney's ABC television network, which has now opened its expanse of our public airwaves to complete domination by sponsors. I don't mean just the ads that sponsors run on its shows, or even the not-so-subtle placement of sponsors' products in the shows, but rather sponsors that become the featured character of the show. Sears has stepped out as the first of ABC's new advertising stars, putting itself forward as the centerpiece of the network's latest reality show called Extreme Makeover: Home Edition. Not that Sears has any actual dramatic talent, but it does have more than $1 million that it paid to ABC to write the corporation into the script of this 6-part series portraying stories of home renovation. The actual actors will be using Sears tools in their work, adding Sears appliances to the renovated homes and decorating with Sears furniture. If that's too subtle for viewers, there'll also be Sears trucks delivering merchandise. Branded workers from Sears home improvement centers will occasionally arrive on the scene, and the show's cast will make trips to Sears for supplies. The commercially crass rationale for this all-Sears show is that advertisers need a way to outfox you TV viewers who are using your clickers to zap past those annoying commercial breaks. So forget the ads. The sponsors will be the shows. To fabricate this great leap forward, ABC even has a senior vice president for integrated marketing and promotion. He assures us that while, quote, Sears plays a role in the personality of the show, ABC would never take it to the point where it would seem like a bunch of logos slapped in a show. This is Jim Hightower saying, see, there still are a few artistic standards in television.
I would like to see a law that says you, your organs automatically get donated unless you say no.
All right, Richie, have you got an organ donor specification?
No.
Why?
Because I don't want them taking me before I'm dead.
In Richie's case, what good would most of those organs be?
Certainly won't be going for his brain. Or they might, because it's never been used.
You might as well be dead. Your brain is, so why not the rest of you?
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, this is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman. To talk with Tom Hartman, call 1-800-TALK-YES. Here's Tom.
And welcome back. It's Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, defending America from the conservative weapons of mass deception. It's Friday afternoon. I've got a whole stack of stuff here that we can talk about. And if there's anything on your mind or something that you want to bring up, feel free to call. We'll just make it an open lines Friday, as has been the tradition in talk radio for a decade or more. 1-800-TALK-YES, the number, 1-800-825-5937. Today is Boxing Day. Boxing Day has nothing to do with pugilism, with the sport of boxing. It appears there's a couple of different stories about Boxing Day that apparently goes back to the Middle Ages in England, and in fact is celebrated in most of the British colonies, the British Commonwealth countries around the world, including Canada, Australia, England, and so on. And one of the stories is that during the Middle Ages, the poor, as it were, the working poor, were required to work on Christmas Day, but they were given the following day off. The servants, they had to work on Christmas Day to serve the lords, right? Because the big parties and everything. And so they were given boxes of gifts at the end of the day on Christmas to take home and open the next day. And so the next day, the day after Christmas, was the day of celebration for the working people who had to work so that the rich people could have their parties and festivities. That's one story. The other story is that people went to church on Sundays, or on Christmas Day, and brought gifts or left money for the poor, and that those were distributed the day after Christmas, these boxes of gifts, and thus again Boxing Day. And it may be that both are the case. It may be that neither is the case, because the origins of Boxing Day are lost in the mists of time. It's a tradition that goes back at least, at least 400 or 500 years, and nobody's really sure where it started. It also coincides with Saint Stephen's Day, one of the saints, but as far as I can tell, there's no correlation between him and boxes, or pugilism. Got an email here from Stephen in, he doesn't say where he's emailing from. He says, he asked the question, and this defines, in my opinion, the topic that I wanted to talk about in this hour. He says, when a CEO collects $25 million in annual pay, and there's a lot of CEOs who make $25 million is chicken feed compared to what some CEOs make. But when a CEO collects $25 million in annual pay, that is the equivalent of roughly 1,000 annual teachers' salaries. Can you think about how different America would be if every CEO who gets $25 million instead got, say, $1 million, and the other $24 million went for just a little bit shorter than 1,000 annual teacher salaries? Anyhow, Stephen asked the question, how can we justify that differential in valuation to our society? In other words, how can we say that the CEO of a corporation is 1,000 times more valuable to our society than a teacher? How can we possibly say that? Or for that matter, how can we say that a CEO of a corporation is 1,000 times more valuable than an artist or a writer, counselors, social workers, therapists, researchers, coaches, tutors, craftspeople, musicians, singers, poets, landscapers, midwives? The list goes on, Stephen says. How do we justify the fantastic differential in reward? And what I would point out to him is that according to the people who today have hijacked the conservative movement and call themselves conservatives, although I'm telling you, Barry Goldwater is rolling over in his grave. According to the cons, the contributions of teachers, along with all these other groups of people that we call the middle class, firefighters, policemen, and, you know, and on it goes, and the entrepreneurs, the owners of small and medium-sized businesses, who, you know, in a good year might make, you know, $50,000, $100,000, maybe some of them doing really well might even make $200,000, $300,000, $400,000 a year. I mean, that's, you know, big money for most entrepreneurs in small and medium-sized businesses. That the contribution of, according to the cons, the contribution of our teachers, our writers, our entrepreneurs, our small and medium-sized businesses are simply not as valuable to society as are the contributions of the CEOs and the senior officers and the members of the compensation board of the big corporate empires. You know, it's time that we changed our language in this country. We need to begin calling the situation what it really is. We have now empires, kingdoms. We have corporations that legitimately can be called kingdoms or empires. They are larger than many nations. Their CEOs live in a luxurious lifestyle that literally 90% of the kings of Europe in history would envy. They live absolutely insulated from the people whose lives they affect. They make decisions that lead literally to life and death for the people who serve them. They enjoy the prerequisites and prerogatives of kingly position. They engage in polygamy. They call it serial monogamy. You know, one wife after another with their trophy wives. Those who are male, which is the vast majority of them. This is a form of mental illness that very much seems to be associated with testosterone in this culture. Of acquisition. Unbridled greed. Thomas Jefferson made the point that, here's a quote from Thomas Jefferson. If the overgrown wealth of an individual be deemed dangerous to the state, the best corrective is the law of equal inheritance to all in equal degree. What he was talking about was an inheritance tax that says you can will to future generations up to a certain amount. And anything over that goes to the state. And the point of this was to prevent the growth of empires of individual wealth. Because what the founders had seen was that empires of individual wealth are contrary to democracy. They always work against democracy. They corrupt democracy. They are corrosive to democracy. Now, back in those days, when Thomas Jefferson said that, if the overgrown wealth of an individual be deemed dangerous to the state, the best corrective is the law of equal inheritance to all in equal degree. Back when Jefferson said that, the only way that an individual or a group of individuals could aggregate enormous wealth was as an individual, through a family. And it was subject to inheritance taxes, what the cons euphemistically call death taxes. It sounds so much more terrible when you... Oh, the word games that they play, right? The Clear Skies Initiative, the Healthy Forests Initiative. Jefferson understood this well. But back in those days, there wasn't any other form that could be used to aggregate wealth. And that's why today there's no Jefferson Foundation, you know, the wealth and empire of leftover Thomas Jefferson. No. He was living on the edge by his fingernails throughout most of his life. They say, oh, the founders were rich. Look at how much land they had. George Washington tried to free all his slaves before he died. And you had to pay to free your slaves. He had to pay to free all of his slaves because some of his slaves were actually would have been willed into his wife's family. So he had to buy them from her family. He didn't have enough money. Couldn't afford to do it. He freed all his own slaves, but he couldn't free his wife's slaves. They were not, he had a lot of land. Land was cheap back then. There was so much land. It was land for the taking. I mean, setting aside the massacre of Indians as Native Americans as we went west, most of them in the east were killed by diseases that Europeans brought from Europe. But in any case, the point is that back then there was no way to accumulate wealth other than through your family. Because they had put an end to corporate monopolies. Thomas Jefferson tried to write it into the Bill of Rights. James Madison said, you don't need to do that. Every state in the Union has laws against that. Corporations can't exist for more than 40 years. At the end of 40 years, they have to be dissolved. The assets are distributed to the stockholders, and they get to start over again. That was law in the United States up until the 1880s. But now, corporations have become instruments to aggregate wealth. And through the use of these instruments to aggregate wealth, we see these new empires, these new kingdoms arising. And I think it's time to start calling them what they are. They are kingdoms. And their CEOs are kings. They hold the power of life and death. I mean, literally, look at I read to you earlier in the week that new study from the BBC showing that under conservative administrations in England and in Australia, more people commit suicide under conservative administrations than under liberal ones. And between 1900 and 2000, they estimated an additional 35,000 people died under conservative administrations who wouldn't have if conservatives had not been elected. It's not just politics, though. It's at the corporate level, laying people off. You're always going to have a certain number of suicides. You decide you're going to move offshore. You're destroying people's lives. Look at Michael Moore's documentary about Flint, Michigan. Roger and Me. Brilliant.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
Ah, going home for the holidays. 1 hour to the airport, 3 hours at the gate, 2 on the runway, and 5 in the air. Your traveling companion? 1 achy back. Unless you wear a Thermacare heat wrap. Thermacare gives you powerful pain relief for your back, neck, or shoulder. It's 8 hours of deep down heat, so tight muscles relax, and pain goes away. Get Thermacare in the pain reliever aisle. Because after flying, you gotta start driving.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Waitsfield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
You hear that? Doug made his confession that he used hair color.
Yeah, as I was expecting to make it the treatise of the last month. Aren't you guys sweet?
I would recommend sticking with one color, however. Each month you'd have
I
want to
see you try the afro stuff.
Yeah, right. I'm going to do that.
I decided that it is not the color of the hair, but the head that it stuck to that's important.
Doug Stephan's good day.
on the IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Is there anybody here who'd like to wrap the flag around an early grave? Is there anybody here who thinks they're standing tall around a battle wave? Is there anybody here who'd like to do his part? Soldier to the world and a hero to his heart. I want to see him. I want to wish him luck. I want to shake his hand. Want to call his name. Put a medal on the man. Is there anybody here proud of the parade who'd like to give a cheer and show they're not afraid? I'd like to ask him what he's trying to defend. I'd like to ask him what he thinks he's gonna win. Is there anybody?
And welcome back. Yes, we are here, Phil Oakes. Welcome. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Back in the days of kings and kingdoms, empires and emperors, Rome and Caesars, back in the days of kings and kingdoms, the kings did not regard particularly highly. I mean, there were certainly limits, as Louis XIV discovered, but or was it Louis XVI? Whichever Louis it was who was married to Marie Antoinette and lost his head in the French Revolution in, what, 1796? As I recall. Anyhow, by and large, though, kings did not regard the consequences of their actions to their serfs. They had to be careful that they didn't harm the nobles too much, as King John found in 1215 when the nobles came to him and basically said, you sign the Magna Carta or we are going to mobilize our private armies against you. But by and large, kings did what they wanted. And what they wanted was always to increase the wealth and power of the kingdom and the king, or the kingdom and the queen. Although the male gender bears the largest responsibility for this, in my opinion. And here we are again. Here we are again. 2003, about to enter 2004. It is the year, the era, once again. Since the Reagan Revolution was the ascendancy of kings. Jimmy Carter walked to his inauguration, reminding us that we are all the common people, even those of us who get elected president. Ronald Reagan went in a limousine, had the gala balls sponsored by the true kings and kingdoms, America's largest corporations, the corporations that brought him to power, Bechtel and Halliburton and whatnot. And here we see this from Reuters the day before Christmas, article by David Zeilinger, U.S. companies moving more jobs overseas. Again, the kingdoms, the corporate kingdoms, and their corporate CEO kings, concerned only with increasing their own wealth and power. Analysts predict as many as 2 million U.S. white-collar jobs, such as programmers, software engineers, and application designers, will shift to low-cost centers by 2014. It's actually happening much faster than that, according to some. Guyer, this is Linda Guyer, president of Alliance at IBM, which is a group of IBM employees, believes that as many as 40,000 of IBM's 160,000 U.S. jobs will be transferred overseas by 2005. AT&T Wireless just told the SEC that it's going to lay off 1,900 employees this year. The biggest companies looking to offshoring to cut such costs are Microsoft, IBM, and AT&T. But, the article says, they're reluctant to attract attention for political reasons. And wise they are to be reluctant. This is a serious problem. What can we do about it? And, you know, number one, let's start holding the kings accountable. What most people fail to understand is that there are rules to this game. Let's get into those when we get back from this break. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, in just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
Hi, this is Suzanne Gowardy, the General Manager of the IE America Radio Network, wishing you and yours a safe and happy holiday.
The environment isn't all bad news. A new book finds plenty to cheer about. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. If you're looking for an environmental hero, consider the Collins Pine Company. David Suzuki profiles the timber operation in his new book, Good News for a Change, How Everyday People Are Helping the Planet.
Here is a family-owned company that has been in operation now for 150 years. They do $250 million worth of business a year, so this is not a small logging company. This is a major corporation. And if you go through their forests, you don't see clear cuts anywhere. And their forests, which have been logged for 150 years, are considered among the best examples of what an old growth forest should be. So you walk through their forest, you have no idea that there's a logging operation going on.
Collins Pine has 7,500 employees and operates in Pennsylvania, Oregon, and Northern California. Suzuki says the company is a good citizen any way you look at it.
They feel that they've got to return benefits of their operation to the community. So they take a considerable amount of their revenue to set up scholarships, to support community events and activities.
Suzuki and co-author Holly Dressel found other companies doing good things, including some that might surprise you. There's William Clayton Ford, head of the Ford Motor Company, who says the auto industry must cut the environmental impact of its products. Ford has promised to convert the company's SUVs to energy-efficient hybrid engines. Suzuki says even Nike, long considered a bad actor for its use of sweatshop labor, has responded to criticism. Suzuki says it's not all bad news out there, and he wants to credit those companies that are trying to do better. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
You've got your green alligators and long-necked geese, humpty-back camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget that unicorn.
Sunday nights, please, please listen to our show, because if you don't, Mark will not stop singing. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
There's a new voice on IE America Radio Network. It's Never Better with Marina Colby. Sundays from 11 a.m. till noon Eastern on the IE America Radio Network. Never Better is an energetic show that explores and analyzes how you can be more successful people at work and in relationships. So make sure you tune in to Never Better with Marina Colby every Sunday from 11 a.m. till noon Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to IEAmericaRadio.com.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Yeah, my blood's so mad, feels like coagulating. I'm sitting here just contemplating. A cat with the truth, it knows no regulation. Handful of senators don't pass legislation, and marches alone can't bring integration. When human respect is disintegrating, this whole crazy world is just too frustrating. And you tell me
back. It's Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, the place where smart people get their news. Okay, the U.S. sales director for one of India's top computer service providers said his company has won business from customers such as Walt Disney Company, Time Warner Inc., CNN, and the Fox division of News Corp, none of which want public disclosure. In India, some technology companies have recently adopted lower profiles. Microsoft Corporation has been removing its name from minibuses used to ferry engineers on overnight shifts, for example. Although IBM intends to ship 4,700 high-end jobs to India and China next year. This, the article, Reuters article, U.S. companies moving more jobs overseas by David Zeilinger. On it goes. I mean, just on and on and on. But see, here's the bottom line. People go, oh, isn't this terrible? What can we do? Why isn't anybody doing anything? Isn't it terrible? All these jobs are going overseas. Well, first of all, as Michael Moore so brilliantly pointed out in his movie Roger and Me, this happened first to the blue-collar workers. And the blue-collar workers, you know, the factories, moving the factories overseas, moving them to lower-wage countries, Mexico in particular, and also changing the laws on imports. I mean, I grew up in Michigan, and I remember back in the 70s, in the 1970s, when there were, you would see signs along the side of the highway, the roads, you know, I-96 between Lansing and Detroit. I used to drive it a lot. And people would put signs up there. So I remember one guy hung a banner off a bridge one time. It was up for about 3 days that said something like, shoot a foreign car. Destroy the USA, buy Japanese, stuff like that. And what was going on was that this was the beginning of the auto workers realizing that the Japanese imports represented a real threat to the big three automakers. Now, this was just imports, because what was happening was that the Japanese, number one, they were starting to make pretty good cars. I mean, I remember in the late 60s, the Japanese cars were considered junk. You know, you'd get a Toyota, and it was they were cheap, but they were like tin cans. In fact, I owned one back, you know, it was a 69, 1970, something like that, and you know, it was all like I paid $35 for the car. In fact, for the first five or six cars that Louise and I owned, we never paid more than $50 for a car. And frankly, we couldn't have afforded more than $50 for a car. And so, you know, you'd get these Japanese clunkers. But and then the Japanese started making better cars, and our import tariffs started changing. In the early 80s, at the Reagan Revolution, the rules started changing, and suddenly all these Japanese cars were appearing in the United States, and it was really causing some distress for the auto industry. And I remember it well. My father worked in that industry as well. And he ran a tool and die shop in Lansing, Michigan. It was the initial awakening. And then came along Bill Clinton, who I know Democrats love to embrace and liberals for some reason love to embrace. And Bill Clinton had some, you know, he did some good things. He was concerned about the environment more often than not, and seemed to be reasonably concerned with civil liberties, although he signed some pretty dicey legislation after Tim McVeigh blew up the federal building in Oklahoma. And I still scratch my head when I think about the whole thing in Waco with the Branch Davidians and taking the military in there. I mean, what happened to the Posse Comitatus Act, which says that you can't use the United States military against civilians of the United States on United States property, domestically. But in any case, Bill Clinton came along, and he basically sold the farm to the new kings. And that's my point, is that these are kings who are ruling kingdoms, and they want you and I to be serfs, to be feudal serfs. It's a very simple and straightforward equation. This is a new form of feudalism, and they have under their sway our politicians, with a few spectacular exceptions like Bernie Sanders, who has, to the best of my knowledge, bowed to no corporation and will not. And it's because in Vermont, it's a small enough state that retail politics is still possible. I've been to two of Bernie Sanders' fundraisers over the years. This was long before we started the radio show, and I was just a face in the crowd. I'm sure he doesn't remember my showing up. And in both cases, I mean, you hear about fundraisers, right? You want to have dinner with George W. Bush, $2,000 to sit in the same room. You want to sit at the same table, you got to raise $200,000. And, you know, for a lot of senators, this $1,000 plate dinners, $500 plate dinner, it's all typical. Well, Bernie gets a local rock and roll band and, you know, rents a stadium. I remember the last one we did was on a kind of a one of the ferry boats on Lake Champlain. Burlington is like the San Francisco of the East. It's just this beautiful city on a lake that is big enough that it almost looks like an ocean, except on the far side you can see the tops of the mountains in New York State. But it's huge. And they've got a ferry that runs across. And he had rented a ferry because, you know, a great big area there. And he had a rock and roll band. And there was, you know, food, buffet-style food and drink. I don't remember if they were serving beer or soft drinks. And the suggested donation was $5 to $25. You put it in the pot on the way in. Anybody could show up. It was in the newspaper. And Bernie was there shaking hands and talking to people, continuously surrounded by people. It's retail politics. And so, you know, the strength of that allows him to defy that corporate money. Unfortunately, in so much of America, the only way our politicians can reach people is through the kingdoms of the media. And those kingdoms have set themselves up as the gatekeepers. And they very much do not want retail politics because they do not want the will of the people to be done. Because where the will of the people is done, you end up with representatives like Bernie Sanders who says, hey, let's take apart the media monopolies. Or like Howard Dean said the other day on Hardball with Chris Matthews, that one of the first things he'd do as president is dismantle the media monopolies. And ever since then, every media commentator has been taking apart Howard Dean. I haven't heard a single good word about Howard Dean since he made that remark from any of the commentators on any of the networks. It is mind-boggling how skewed and distorted the news reporting has been, not to mention Dennis Kucinich, who has suddenly become invisible. Kucinich is invisible, and Dean has become the Antichrist. I mean, yesterday, even on CNN, they said, was it CNN? Well, on one of the networks, I was listening. Oh, no, this was Fox. Of course, it was Fox. They said, Dean's wife and children are Jewish, and he practices Congregationalism. Will religion matter? Now, most people are going, Congregationalism? What is that? Is that like the Branch Davidians? I mean, if it had been, they didn't say Jimmy Carter practices Baptistism. They don't say, here's Jerry Falwell, he practices Baptistism. Here's George W. Bush, he practices Methodicism. No, Howard Dean is a Christian who goes to a Congregationalist church. But they're not going to say that he's a Christian on Fox News. Anyhow, it's just, you know, it's the official trash Dean time. And it's because he's offended the kingdoms. The kingdoms are worried. We have now kingdoms in the United States. Rupert Murdoch is developing one of the largest, speaking of Fox News, $6.6 billion media mega merger between DirecTV Satellite Service and News Corporation. The unprecedented size and scope of Murdoch's holding will, according to FCC Commissioner Commissioner Jonathan A. Adelstein, put News Corp in a position to raise programming prices for consumers, harm competition in video programming and distribution markets nationwide, and decrease the diversity of media ownership. This is the beginning of the Berlusconism of America. And, of course, it was a 2-2 vote, two Republicans, two Democrats, and the tie-breaking vote was cast by that shill for corporate America, Michael Powell, son of Colin Powell. Colin Powell, the former director and major stockholder in AOL Time Warner. You ever wonder how Murdoch usually gets what he wants? Well, News Corp spent nearly $10 million on lobbying from 1999 to 2002. Murdoch himself has met personally with FCC commissioners and key lawmakers several times. In the 2004 election, News Corporation had already contributed, has already, in this upcoming election, has already contributed $200,000, almost a quarter of a million. And for the 2000 and 2002 cycles, the company's contributions exceeded $1.7 million. In the meantime, while the kings and the kingdoms prosper, the serfs are becoming increasingly desperate. What's the hot new business outside U.S. military bases? Short-term loan operations that charge, get this, 720% annual interest rates. You thought your credit card was bad. 720% annual interest rates. As the Associated Press notes in an article by Russ Bynum, lenders sink U.S. soldiers into debt. On General Screven Way, the one-mile strip of fast food joints and pawn shops leading to the front gate of Fort Stewart, getting a cash loan of $100 to $500 is about as easy as buying a cheeseburger. Numerous strip mall businesses bear names like Check Into Cash, First American Cash Advance, Gold Check CS, Payday Advance, and PJ Cash. They prey on U.S. troops with high-interest short-term loans that plunge them deep into debt. Military bases across the nation have become magnets for payday lenders, which charge fees as high as $30 every 2 weeks per $100 borrowed, equal to a 720% annual interest rate. Why? Because our soldiers, by and large, are not the children of the kings, but are the children of the serfs. They don't have wealth. And the kingdoms don't, you know, choose not to pay them particularly well. This is a national disgrace. It's an absolute national disgrace. The way that we pay our soldiers, the way we pay our teachers, the way we pay our police and our firefighters. When we begin paying these people who hold out the quality of life of our present, our police and our firefighters, and the future of our nation, our teachers, at the same level that we pay our national legislators, and in the same way, I mean, a member of Congress gets a salary of $130,000 more or less dollars a year, plus full pension, plus full health benefits. That's the kind of salary that our firefighters, our police officers, and our teachers should be getting, and our soldiers should be well paid. Being a soldier shouldn't be the thing that desperate people from Appalachia do to become a teacher like Jessica Lynch did. She shouldn't have to sacrifice her life, as nearly 500 of our soldiers have in Bush's war, simply because she's trying to climb out of poverty. We need minimum wage laws in this country that actually reflect a true living wage, as the minimum wage law first did when FDR put it into place, but inflation now has eroded it to the point where it's meaningless. Nobody pays the minimum wage anymore because even at several dollars more than the minimum wage, you're not paying a living wage. It's not enough for people to live on. Christian Science Monitor reports the rich-poor gap in the United States has doubled in 21 years. Has doubled the gap between the rich and the poor in the United States and is set to widen further under new tax cuts. This is from an article yesterday. The Christian Science Monitor. People of faith say society has a moral responsibility to narrow that gap. This is an article by Jane Lampman. Inequality, is it a sin? America is changing. The society that has provided itself on being an egalitarian model for the world has become more unequal than aristocratic Europe, economists confirm. The rich-poor gap has doubled in 21 years and is now at its widest since 1929. And there are many competent economists, my friends, who tell you that the thing that brought about the Great Depression was the fact that there was so much wealth concentrated in so few hands and so many poor people that the ability of the poor to buy crashed demand, which led to a deflationary cycle, and the wealth of the rich was this teetering tower just waiting to fall over. And that's all it took. It was just a very straightforward process. And here we have that again. Once mortgage rates go back up so that people can no longer pay for their consuming by borrowing against their house, I have this horrible feeling we're right on the edge. We've got to do something about this. We have to do something about this. This is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
The Founding Fathers thought they'd stop corporations from ever overthrowing elected government. Little did they know that 200 years later, democracy would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom Hartman. The founders of America fought the Revolutionary War against the excessive corporate power of the East India Company, and presidents from Jefferson to Eisenhower warned us that extremely big businesses could destroy democracy. You'll find this extraordinary American story in my book, Unequal Protection: The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. It starts with the Boston Tea Party and ends with the rampant corruption of the Bush administration. It tells the dramatic story of how corporations hijacked the Bill of Rights, setting the stage for the CEO takeover of America. And it shows how we can take America back and tells the stories of Americans from Pennsylvania to California who are doing just that right now.
Unequal Protection is available in bookstores nationwide. And you can read several chapters online at unequalprotection.com. That's Unequal Protection by Tom Hartman.
Excuse me. Pardon me.
Slow down, Kyle. You'll choke on your coffee.
Can't. I have to finish getting the newsletter out before I can do anything else on my schedule today.
I used to have that problem before I discovered the Newsletter Factory.
Well, how'd they help you?
Their expert team of writers, editors, designers, and project coordinators do all my hard work for me. The Newsletter Factory even developed a readership survey that helped me produce the most appropriate content.
Sounds great, but I like doing some of the writing. It's just technical stories and layouts that bog me down.
No problem. In addition to turnkey projects, the Newsletter Factory gives you a smorgasbord of services from design and proofread to edit or full write. The Newsletter Factory can also help with printing and mailing. They keep you informed the whole way. Plus, the process is cost-effective and streamlined, so the Newsletter Factory doesn't have to compensate for lost time or mistakes.
Just like a factory.
Now you're catching on. Call the Newsletter Factory at 800-788-9550 to get started today. Or visit them on the web at www.newsletterfactory.com.
I will. Thanks.
The Mike Mola Show.
Now in Sacramento, there's Conan the Groper promising he's changed.
Half behave badly sometimes. Yes, it is true that I was on rowdy movie sets, and I have done things that were not right, which I thought then was playful, but now I recognize that I have offended people.
I thought I was being playful. Just because I'd grabbed her breast, I thought I was playful. Kathy's laughing at my Schwarzenegger. I'm sorry, I can't do it. All right, you do it.
I've groped and molested women in the past, but if you elect me, I promise I'll never do it again, because you know powerful politicians never abuse their power for sex.
Okay.
And that's how it's done.
Okay.
Hello, cutie pie. Your clothes, give them to me. Now. Come on.
Mike Molloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Brendan was spending the afternoon helping me pick out furniture for the new place.
The ladies are doing a little furniture shopping, are they?
That's scary. I hope you didn't make any choices without a professional.
Beanbag chairs for everybody.
God, help us. Bearskin rug.
I put the car in swinger, baby.
On the IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time every Sunday. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com. And join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Well, I love a rainy night, such a beautiful sight. I love to feel rain on my face, taste the rain on my lips. In the moonlight shadow. Showers wash all my cares away. I wake up to a sunny day, cause I love a rainy night. Yeah, I love a rainy night. Well, I love a rainy night.
Welcome back. Yeah, it was a rainy night. Actually, it was the night before last. Yesterday it was snowing, and today, and here in the People's Republic of Vermont. By the way, our program today was produced by Louise Hartman here in Vermont. Thank you, Louise. Our music edited by Brad Walrod in New York City. Thank you to the chat room folks who dropped in. Our collection of regulars and visitors and just some extraordinary all-around fantastic people. Thank you for participating in the chat room today and keeping me straight and on course here. And special thanks to John Lucas for showing up and engineering our program there in Detroit, Michigan. Thank you, John. Yes, indeed. Well done. Bravo to all. Okay, if you think that this issue that I'm talking about these new kings, the corporate kings and the corporate kingdoms that they run, the CEO kings, is only about wealth, the real issue here is not, in my opinion, about wealth. That's a problem. But the real issue is about power. This has to, because in our society, money equals power, particularly when you're talking about money in the millions to billions of dollars. People with hundreds of millions or billions of dollars have a level of power such that they can get the President of the United States to do things for them. They can get senators to do things for them. They can get congresspeople to do things for them. They can get things done that you or I couldn't, because their wealth represents power. As the Christian Science Monitor points out, we must be concerned with the ratio of unequal wealth in America. You know, having pointed out that it has doubled. The ratio of inequality in the United States has doubled since the Reagan Revolution and is now at its widest since 1929. And they say we must be concerned with the ratio of unequal wealth because money is power. And when it is divided very unequally, those with power will use it politically in selfish ways. When that inequality removes hope and incentive for people at the bottom, it undermines character and responsibility, producing despair and more bad choices. It's not good for democracy. That's the bottom line. Now, our program today brought to you by Small Dog Electronics, 1-800-511-MAX, the organic wine company, 1-888-ECO-WINE, and the Newsletter Factory, newsletterfactory.com. Thank you to our sponsors. Thank you for listening. Tomorrow. We'll be back on the air on Monday. Join us Monday, same time, same place. Have a great weekend.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
Get things in my mind, and I say, let's try this.
Here's Nancy in the background. Nancy.
Oh,
Nancy.
Am I on the air?
Hello.
You're sorry you're on the air?
I'm glad I didn't say something I really shouldn't have said.
Really? You should have heard what she was telling me a minute ago.
Wow.
Bite me, doughboy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, not your...